Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery Deli and Cafe, open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Ford has 75,000 workers covered by the United Auto Workers contracts. All of them have a buyout on the table if they want it. Value, $30,000 to $140,000.
A summer of weak sales due to high gasoline prices has pushed Ford into accelerating its turnaround plan. It's likely to mean more job cuts and faster, says Dave Cole, who heads the Center for Auto Research.
They have to do this as a matter of survival. They can't be what they were.
Ford says it has to become smaller and more nimble. It's expected to offer buyouts and early retirements to both manufacturing and white-collar employees and find ways to limit the number of incentives it puts on its vehicles. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
You'll remember the Dawson College invasion in Montreal yesterday by a young man with a rifle and a trench coat. The Quebec proverbial or provincial police have done their forensics, and now they say that Dawson College killer Kim Veer Gill, in fact, died after shooting himself in the head. It was not police bullets that did it. The debate in the Senate is how far do you go when questioning captured terrorists. President Bush says the current program of CIA questioning must continue, and Congress needs to pass enabling law.
I will resist any bill that does not enable this program to be go forward legal clarity.
Another bill limits how far interrogators may go with greater specificity. Senator John McCain is a prime mover on it.
Men and women in the military could be placed in jeopardy if we amend the Geneva Conventions, because other nations would then do the same and maybe turn them over to their secret police.
John McCain speaks to Katie Couric tonight on the CBS Evening News. There was a 10-hour problem getting the solar arrays on the International Space Station to unfurl properly. Blame it on software.
These solar arrays are enormous. I mean, when they're fully extended, they stretch 240 feet from tip to tip. They're attached to a rotary joint that lets them turn 360 degrees as the station goes around the Earth to keep the sun face onto these panels, which maximizes electrical production. It's a very big deal.
CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood says once the glitch was handled, the solar arrays stretched out their arms. Doctors say it just shows parity can be achieved.
It's been described as an important milestone toward erasing racial and ethnic divides. Virtually no statistical difference among black, white, Asian, and Hispanic youngsters when it comes to vaccination rates. But at Emory University, immunization specialist Dr. Walter Orenstein says no handstands, please, not yet.
We're still not there for the complete series of immunizations. And we're still not there for every child who's not immunized is a child at risk of a vaccine-preventable disease.
Officials say government programs that pay for immunizations for the poor helped close the gap. Lou Miliano, CBS News.
On Wall Street today, the Dow lost nearly 16 points. The NASDAQ gained a point. This is CBS News.
Yeah, since you guys have licensed insurance counselors, can you tell me how to break the news to my wife that I just bought a sports car?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed car insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical,
will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, you will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio, available most states and situations.
Asthma, diabetes, heart disease. I see real health problems in our communities and too many people who don't see a doctor until it's too late.
Thais directs GSK's Healthy Communities programs.
We're taking a real active role working with community groups to offer free health screenings and connecting local doctors with people that really need help. It's a start toward helping folks live healthier lives, and that does my heart good.
GSK, finding a way forward, one community at a time.
A software glitch that just might toss you right off the scooter.
These self-balancing scooters can lose their stability control when the computer unexpectedly tells the wheels to go in reverse. Down they go.
Segway and the CPSC are aware of 6 reports of the personal transporter not operating properly.
CPSC spokesperson Julie Valise.
There were injuries to the head and wrist of the user.
All 23,500 Segways must be fixed. You can go to a dealer, ship it for free, or if you have a fleet like some police departments, a technician will come to you. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A new planet, actually it's been around a while, but a planet's been discovered that's so fluffy it would float on earthly water. It's too large to do that. In fact, it's the largest of nearly 200 worlds astronomers have studied outside the solar system. HAT P1 is in the Lacerta constellation, about 450 light years from Earth. It's puffy, but whatever it is, it doesn't easily burn away, 20 times closer to its star as Earth is to the Sun, and it has a year that just lasts 4.5 days, and it's still puffy. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Imagine how dirty a carpet with 40,000 people a day walking on it can get. Hi, I'm David Orrick. I'm here at International Airport where my 8-pound Orrick XL is a vacuum of choice. In fact, my Orrick XL is the choice of cleaning professionals in thousands of hotels, offices, and schools around the world. To try it in your own home for 15 days, call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200. And I'll get it to you faster than you can find your luggage.
Why do I like working for Verizon Wireless? I love taking care of the network that makes the phones work. From the moment you hit send, I'm responsible for connecting your call. And with award-winning training, Verizon Wireless helps me be the best. I make sure they're number one at their job, and they make me number one at mine. I'm Patty Petrick, network technician. Our people, our network, Verizon Wireless. We never stop working for you.
That would be me. Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, and unrehearsed from the left coast. We originate in San Francisco to great radio stations like KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, Carmel by the Sea, and that itty-bitty town that the terrorists hate, the one called Freedom. We're all the way live and vivo on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And people listen in the nighttime on KSAC 1240, Talk City in Sacramento, and KPHX 1480 in Phoenix, Arizona. As usual, you're invited to participate to make this a dialogue program. We pay for your phone call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. You can also drop me an email 24/7, peter@peterbcollins.com. On the program today, we kick off with a report from the Progress Report. Faz Shakir will join us in a second. Coming up in about a half an hour, Bill Goodman, chief attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights, is going to talk about President Bush's push to hang on to his policies regarding the detainees, the so-called enemy combatants at Guantanamo Bay. And, well, they're not supposed to be at the murky gulag operated by the CIA anymore, but that's an unknown unknown. Also on today's show, Scott Dick. He served in the Marines, retired from the Army as a major. He's our contributor on military and veterans affairs. We got a whole lot to talk about. And then we open it up wide in the free speech zone for your calls in the third hour. Lots to talk about today, and you're always welcome to join us.
Can't find that on the radio.
What? What?
You'll turn to that station.
Oh, yeah. Can't find nothing on the radio? Well, you found the right station. Faz Shakir joins us for a weekly debriefing. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, published out of the Center for American Progress in Washington. Just a week ago, we were face-to-face in your studio there, Faz.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. It was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, I had a great time at Camp Democracy, and I understand the only thing I missed is the cooler weather that arrived this week.
Yeah, it's dropped down to about the high 60s, mid-60s now.
Mm-hmm. You really miss that humidity, though, don't you?
Well, you know, I'm from Florida, so I enjoy the humidity.
Yeah. Well, Faz, you know, one of the top stories that came out of Think Progress, your blog at the Center for American Progress yesterday, has gotten lefty radio people all over the country pretty well worked up. And it is a report based on three different sources that Air America Radio may be filing for bankruptcy as soon as tomorrow. And Air America has acknowledged a reorganization, a cash crunch, but to date they appear to be denying that bankruptcy is in the offing. Have you been getting a lot of phone calls from worried people all over the country?
Yeah, absolutely. Air America has contacted us as well as a number of other journalists and media types who are interested in what we wrote. I would say that not only the three sources, but there was a lot of chatter that we heard from radio people all over the country telling us that not only was Air America in trouble, but that there was a major announcement coming Friday. And I think we were faced with the choice about whether we wanted to get out ahead of this and try to shape that story, or whether we wanted to allow the bombshell to hit on Friday and for the media to be taken by storm. And I think if that had happened, we would have been hearing a lot about Air America's demise and the demise of Progressive Radio. So we decided to release this information that we had on Wednesday in an effort to try to salvage the reputation of Progressive Radio, and to talk about the fact that Progressive Radio is on the rise all over the country, even though Air America is under financial difficulties right now.
Well, and I appreciate that distinction. As you know, I am not related to Air America. I appreciate the doors that have opened, and that Air America was really the first to establish the viability in the current time frame of Progressive Talk Radio. That said, I believe there's room for a lot of voices and views out there. And when we launched KRXA in Monterey a year ago, July, we consciously chose progressive programs from independent and other sources. Number one, there has been an Air America affiliate in the Monterey area. And it's interesting because separate from the reports that you've heard and passed along about Air America's difficulties, this station in the Monterey area decided independently that they weren't making it, and they announced earlier this week that they're dropping Air America programming. And while I don't take great pleasure in seeing the problems that Air America has, it's satisfying that our lineup of Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Ed Schultz, and yours truly has been not only competitive, but has actually beaten Air America in a critical Central Coast California market. And so it's an interesting dynamic out there.
Right. And I would add that, you know, we're big fans of Air America here too, and you know they've expressed some anger over this, and I understand that, you know, sometimes the truth hurts a little bit. I'm not sure if they will declare bankruptcy, but certainly they're under great financial strain, and the reason they're under financial strain is because they launched this business model a few years ago trying to launch the progressive radio movement, and they poured a lot of money into this, and they haven't yet reaped the returns on that business model. I think you would probably know a little bit more about this.
Well,
but
and also
because
on the,
they
on,
took
on the...
that risk, we're now launching all these successful radio networks across the country, and unfortunately, it's just not panning out to the level that Air America needed to sustain itself.
Well, and the difference between Air America and the rest of us is that they attempted to change the business model of radio to force stations to accept their entire lineup. And that was one of the reasons when we started KRXA, we wouldn't contemplate that because they wouldn't budge. They said it's either all or nothing. Now they've since modified that in dealing with newer affiliates, but their model is difficult to sustain. And for example, Ed Schultz is independently syndicated. I'm independently syndicated, and that's the typical way that talk radio programs are distributed, whether they are left, right, or non-aligned.
Right, and they've done a great service, and I think you and I agree on that. And so all we were doing is saying that this is an announcement that's going to come, and we didn't want to see people like yourself, Hartman, you mentioned the other Stephanie Miller, get swept under this massive announcement that was going to come on Friday, or so we were told. We'll see if it happens or not.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the demise, or see the media spin this as the great demise of the Progressive Radio, because we had heard that Michelle Malkin and Drudge were going to do something like that. But there were rumors about floating about that they were ready to go after Progressive Radio and say it had been declared dead.
Right.
And so it was an opportunity for us to really jump in early.
And that has been one of my concerns, is that I don't want the entire category to be represented by Air America, because if it does, in fact, have to reorganize or sharply cut back or, heaven forbid, shut down, it doesn't mean that Progressive Talk Radio has failed.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Faz, I want to turn to the president's unusual trip to Capitol Hill today. He's been twisting arms and buttonholing, I imagine, mostly Republicans over two issues. The legislation he wants to rubber stamp his illegal wiretapping policy from the NSA. And he also wants to push past John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and Senator Warner of Virginia to hold his ground, or maybe it's Dick Cheney's ground, on the treatment of detainees. Did this personal effort pay off? Can you tell, or is it too soon?
No, I don't think it really has changed the dynamic that much. I was just listening to Senator John McCain on CNN moments ago talking with Wolf Blitzer, and he hasn't budged on his position whatsoever. And I mean, he's a key bellwether about where this debate is going, at least on the military tribunals and the torture issue. I think that looking back to January 05, when President Bush said, I have political capital and I intend to spend it, if we view that statement now, you would have to say that he has very little political capital, and whatever amount he's spending just isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's this great political dynamic going on where you now see a lot of Republicans being more willing to stand up and declare their independence from the Bush administration, despite the obvious amount of pressure that they're now getting from Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and President Bush.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk with Bill Goodman in the next segment after the half hour. He's the lead attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights, and we'll go into detail with him on the detainee policies and that related information. We talked with Congressman Adam Schiff, a Democrat who serves on the House Judiciary Committee, yesterday regarding his NSA bill, and he said that Chairman Sensenbrenner postponed a vote, and he wasn't clear why. Do you know if the House has resumed either deliberations in the Judiciary Committee or if that bill has been voted out today?
No, they're still, I mean, they don't want to take action, from what I understand, until they have some amount of confidence that the Senate is going to go along with it. Otherwise, it's just kind of a useless effort.
Like immigration.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I don't know exactly what the House wants to do. My sense is that there are Republicans also on the House side that have concerns, maybe Heather Wilson or people like her.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are kind of hiding behind and underneath the more prominent Republican senators on the Senate side who are stepping up and publicly announcing their opposition.
Yeah. All right. We'll pick up there as we continue in just a moment. Faz Shakir is with us from the Center for American Progress. Did I mention you can receive the Progress Report free in your email every day? Just log on to progressreport.org. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hello? Hello?
What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, hear from Tim Mankey, owner and president of GM Real Estate. He'll talk about the exciting market of Dallas-Fort Worth. Give him a call at 916-208-9000. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to sneak in a little ditty and dedicate it to the late Governor Ann Richards of Texas.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger.
Yeah, he was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
Up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Ann Richards was larger than life, kind of like Texas, and I'm going to miss her. She really brought, I think, a lot of spirit and spunk and spark to the Democratic Party. And we'll have to pay respects to her next time we can get Jim Moore on the program. He's the expert on Karl Rove, Bush's brain. He's got a new book out about Rove called The Architect. And he can take us back to 1994 when an incredible sleazy campaign defeated Ann Richards and put a guy named George W. Bush in as governor of Texas. Faz, anything you'd like to add there?
Well, I mean, Ann Richards was a model, I think, of a Democratic governor that we'd like to see in Texas. I mean, and she really inspired a lot of Democrats to be kind of not only political, but be funny, be engaging, and be interesting. And it was always a pleasure to watch her on TV.
Yeah. Fast, I just got an email from Professor Mark Crispin Miller. He's in Washington, and he met with John Conyers last night. And apparently there's a bill sponsored by Henry Hyde that is called the, let's see, it has a name, the Federal Election Integrity Act, and it essentially is a national voter ID law. Have you heard anything about this? It appears to be something the Republicans are trying to jam through here toward the end of this session before the break.
Huh, no, I haven't heard anything about it, but it's an interesting development.
Yeah, well, please take a look into that and let me know what you find out. In the progress report today, you focus on our military readiness. And when I was at your office last week, I ran into Lawrence Korb, who is one of your senior fellows on military affairs at the Center for American Progress. And he and Peter Ogden have been quoted in today's Washington Post. Tell us what they reported.
Well, they were responding to an article written a few days ago by Bill Kristol and Rich Lowry who argued that we need to increase the number of troops in Iraq, basically calling for escalation there. And both Ogden and Korb in today's Washington Post rebut the idea that we even have troops to send. Regardless of whether it's a good idea or bad idea, we are just not capable of sending enough troops into Baghdad. So they write that our military readiness is at the worst point it's been in years, and that's because one-third of our brigades are already in combat, and the other two-thirds would have to report not ready for duty. So we have really nobody left to send.
Yeah. And that's not the only issue. They have recruiting problems, and as you point out in the progress report, and this is amusing on a certain level, because they're ratcheting up the age where I might be qualified to get recruited. But they're having so much trouble meeting their goals that in January of this year, they raised the enlistment age from 35 to 40, and then in June, they had to raise it to 42.
Yeah, I mean, they're having all kinds of problems, and what both Larry Korb and Ogden write today is that it extends beyond the traditional army, that, you know, if we couldn't find troops there, which we can't, we'd have to go to the reserve forces. And if you look at the reserve forces, they've had a harder time recruiting because of Iraq. More and more people are not willing to sign up for that sort of duty. And so there's nobody left in that, I guess, unless you're willing to talk about a draft, which I don't think anybody is right now. You know, we got big recruiting problems, so much so that I think it hurts our ability to have a presence in the world and deter countries like Iran and North Korea from posing danger to us.
Mm-hmm. Progress report also touches on the funding issues, and these are generally, you know, offshore the way Enron did it. We use these supplemental appropriations that aren't counted in on the deficit figures and are basically off budget. Harry Reid was on the NewsHour on PBS last night, and he said that the combined wars in Afghanistan and Iraq are now costing us $3 billion a week. And that's a high watermark. I've been using a figure, you know, of about $8 billion a month, but his would translate to almost $12 billion a month.
Yeah, but what's so annoying and upsetting about that figure is we would all, I think, get behind it if we felt that the troops needed it and the troops were in the field and that we had to make sure that they had the tools they needed. But yet we have General Schumacher, the Army's chief of staff, telling us that he needs an additional $17 billion because they don't have the equipment they need to fight this war. So where are we spending this money? What are we spending this money for if we can't even live up to our obligations to our troops to provide them the necessary armor and protection they need to fight this war?
Mm-hmm.
And clearly the money is going for other uses and being spent on matters that really are not getting us anywhere.
A couple of items related to the United Nations and Secretary General Kofi Annan. On the NewsHour last night, he made some powerful remarks. They were couched in terms of citing as sources the Middle East leaders that he has visited on his peacekeeping mission over the last 10 days or so. But he was rather explicit in saying that those leaders believe that the war in Iraq is a mistake, that it has really roiled the region and upset whatever balance of security there was there. And you point out in the progress report today that Frank Luntz, the conservative pollster and spinmeister, was dispatched to the United Nations and has published a report for Republicans saying that they can benefit by running against the United Nations.
Yeah, Frank Luntz has conducted a new poll. And he's trying, the main mission behind this poll was to try to convince Republican candidates who are running in 06 and possibly even 08 to run against the UN, to talk about it as a corrupt organization, really use it as a wedge issue because he believes that Democrats, and we should, liberals would stand up for the UN and I think, you know, if we look at what the UN's purpose has served just over the past few months, we see how effective an organization it could be. It was the one that eventually forced a ceasefire in Lebanon. It's the one that allows us to conduct our diplomacy with Iran to the point where we're not now engaged in a war with Iran, which is a good thing, I think. Mm-hmm. And also we resolved the North Korea crisis. So there are some major victories that we can be able to point to that the UN has helped us help provide for because it's been a forum for those sorts of activities.
Somebody ought to tell Kofi, though, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they'll just brush him off as some anti-Bush hater. But you know what? When he talks, I think people should listen because he's got a pretty good beat on what the rest of the world thinks.
Vance Shakir at the Center for American Progress. Thanks, Vance.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Ford Escape Hybrid, a midsize four-door SUV with four-wheel drive. If you've been considering a hybrid, be sure to test drive an Escape. If you think you need a six-cylinder gas engine, Ford makes a gas-powered Escape, so compare them yourself side by side. For most people, the hybrid has plenty of power and acceleration, and its quiet operation is a real plus. Our hybrid demo passed the grueling hill climb test on most attempts, but one time it stalled with a max payload of four adults and luggage and had no reserve power to restart uphill. Inside, the Escape is comfortable with enough headroom and legroom, and our demo has a $2,000 GPS navigation system that works well and could use a bigger screen. By the numbers, the 2007 Ford Escape Hybrid gets 36 miles in the city, 31 on the highway, that's right, and stickers in California for about $30,000.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio with Jack Page.
Hey, wow, Sheila, I'm so excited about our show.
Our show?
Reality Radio.
Oh, my show.
Hey, we'll be talking about things that really matter in life, day-to-day struggles, our children, money.
Aging, our fears, anger, and all with a touch of humor.
We'll take your calls and have the Central Coast's most colorful guests.
Every Saturday afternoon, 4 to 5.
Reality Radio with the amazing Sheila Gale.
And the hilarious Jack Page on AM 540 KRXA.
Love it.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes past the hour. As we mentioned in the preceding segment, the president went to Capitol Hill in an unusual lobbying effort today to try to lock in his preferred language in legislation that tries to smooth over the critique of the U.S. Supreme Court
of this president, and in particular the detention policies of so-called enemy combatants at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere. And as we've discussed on this program, there's great concern that this Congress will legalize what the court found to be illegal, and that is the president's wide assertion of expanded presidential powers under his role as commander-in-chief during wartime, and based on a rather expansive interpretation not shared by the Supreme Court or many other legal experts of presidential powers from the resolution that followed the attacks of 9/11. Bill Goodman is legal director at the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York, and they represent a number of the detainees at Guantanamo, and they have been on the front lines of this battle to protect the rights of individuals and, I believe, in turn, the rights of Americans. Bill Goodman, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here, Peter.
How do you feel about this remarkable effort by the president? And we saw that McCain and Warner and Graham were called to the White House, apparently met at length with Dick Cheney yesterday. And essentially, the president and vice president have a torture agenda, and they want Congress to ratify it.
Well, how do I feel about it? It turns my stomach. I think that on the issue of torture, let's put it this way. The president and vice president want to be able to both use torture and use so-called confessions and admissions that are induced during torture to put people away forever and perhaps to execute people. McCain and Warner seem to be hesitant to go that far. On the other hand, they are willing under certain circumstances even to let confessions that are coerced, that are brought about as a result of heavy physical pressure, short of torture, although who knows where that line can easily be drawn, even then those confessions will come under what they're proposing. To us, the most disturbing part of the whole thing is the unspoken, unseen part, the part that's below the surface, the other 98% of this iceberg, which is the provisions of this statute, which seem to be agreed upon by both the White House and the Republicans in the Senate, to eliminate the rights of habeas corpus for anyone picked up around the world. Because in the end, the kinds of hearings that the president's statute have been talking about apply to perhaps a dozen or two dozen people at the most. That still leaves hundreds of people in Guantanamo who are not protected by any kind of hearing, who are not protected by the provisions of the Uniform Code of Military Justice or anything else, and who will just continue to stay in Guantanamo to rot and will have no rights whatsoever to go into federal court and challenge their detention. Only Guantanamo, they are now spreading this cancer around the world.
But, Bill, these are really bad guys. And ABC gave us a two-night miniseries, a docudrama propaganda piece, to try to persuade us. You know, the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is so evil that he doesn't deserve the kind of legal protections that you're proposing.
Well, I didn't. Happily, I wasn't one of the viewing audience to that, so I don't know what was in the ABC
drama. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
But what I can say is that this is always the excuse that is used to destroy basic rights that we all have. Of course, we can agree that people who are innocent, that ordinary people, the good people like you and me and the listeners of, you know, that these people deserve their rights because they're the ones who never get in trouble. The problem is, what about the worst of the worst? What about the serial killers? What about the human rights violators? What about the rapists and people who are accused of crimes? The basic notion that we are living with that has been brought to us from the 13th century to today is that until the state proves that you are guilty of something, you are not guilty. You are presumed innocent. And that's not just, you're not just mouthing slogans when you say that. That is real. That's what protects every one of us from arbitrary treatment by the bully with the billy club and the uniform and the gun and the badge, or the FBI agent or the bully in the White House. That's what protects us from having them abuse our rights, because not only don't they like what we did, they may not like what we say, they may not like what we think, they may not like the church that we go to or the church we don't go to, they may not like our color, they may not like a lot of things about us, and because of that, we become brutalized. And once they can brutalize one person, once they can violate that person's rights, we're all at risk.
Yeah.
That's the danger.
Bill, it really offended me in so many ways, not only the ABC primetime presentation that exploited 9/11 and contorted the facts, created more confusion, propelled message points of the Bush administration that we need more police activities, we need more spying, and, you know, what really bugs me is that the rhetorical frame that is used to dislodge ordinary rational thinking and links to our own Constitution is the phrase, 9/11 changed everything. And I really choke on that. It almost makes me want to puke because, sure, 9/11 did change some things, but it didn't change everything. It didn't change the tether of our government to the Constitution. And that's what Bush is trying to achieve here by kind of shading the rhetoric and moving people in his direction with the, you know, dramatic announcement that KSM and others have now been relocated to Guantanamo and the previously denied secret prisons have been obliquely acknowledged.
Well, there's a lot in that. Yes, I agree. 9/11, of course, did not, should not have changed everything. They wanted to change everything. What Al-Qaeda wanted in blowing up the World Trade Center and flying a plane into the Pentagon and hijacking those planes, what they wanted was to destroy American society. If we allow this president to basically hold their hands in that effort and go along with it and clink glasses at the end of the day and has destroyed the Constitution, then it has changed everything. If, on the other hand, we stand up and say, no, we still have a constitutional government here. Our government does not have powers that override the limitations of the Constitution, then we have basically defeated the terrorists. And this is the point that this president doesn't get. People's rights are important. Democratic rights are important. He wouldn't know a democratic right if it crawled out from under the rug and bit him on the nose.
We're talking with Bill Goodman from the Center for Constitutional Rights. He serves as their legal director. If you want to find out more, the website is ccr-ny.org, ccr-ny.org. Now, Bill, practically speaking, the Democrats have very little leverage in trying to modify the proposals of the White House. And we really do have to look to Warner, McCain, and Graham, who each have compromised and caved with this administration on critical constitutional issues already. Is there anybody else who we can look to try to keep this from going as far to the fascist right as it appears Bush wants it to go?
Is there anyone else we can look to? You know, millions of Americans are disgusted by what these few people really are doing. And I think that if people register, tell congressmen that this cannot be and raise enough hell, hopefully some of it will be heard. I would say, if I were to have to put money on it, I'd say that this legislation is going to get through Congress. Then we are left with the possible, you know, with the backstop of the courts. We have to take this stuff to court. We have to say it's unconstitutional, which we will, which it is, and hope that the courts have not been so corrupted by what has basically affected everyone else that maybe we can pull it through.
But the Roberts Alito court, and it was O'Connor who wrote the critical passages that the president doesn't have a blank check. So this newly formed court did rule against the president, but they left a loophole big enough for a Mack truck or two, which is that you have to go back to Congress and get this approved. And so if Congress approves this legislation, will the court then say you satisfied our requirement?
Not necessarily. I think that the question which a court must ask itself first when it is scrutinizing the conduct of the government or a policy of the government is whether or not the government has the power or authority to undertake this particular task. And that is really the basic question that the court answered in the Humden case, saying that the court did not have the authority to act, that Congress had really already acted by enacting the Uniform Code of Military Justice and by approving the Geneva Convention. Now, if we have to go back to court with this, the argument will be that in enacting the Geneva Convention, Congress has provided that people have certain rights, and that conflicts with this new legislation, and the court will have to resolve this conflict somehow. It may fall back on basic rights under the Bill of Rights, say that due process applies here to a limited degree, and that people who are being sentenced, are being tried and convicted and sentenced sometimes to death, have a right to be present during the entire hearing and not be excluded from it. Those kinds of things may be governed by the raw precepts of the Bill of Rights itself. In addition, the part of the statute which I think is the most offensive, which strips federal courts of jurisdiction to hear applications for habeas corpus, a basic fundamental right of Western European democracy going back to at least the 13th century, that this constitutes a suspension of the Constitution and as such violates Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution.
But Lindsey Graham has already approved that. He wrote the bill last Christmas that retroactively denied habeas corpus to Guantanamo detainees.
One of the things that Humden said was that the Detainee Treatment Act, the bill you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
was not retroactive, at least in part.
Okay.
Now, and I think that I read it to say that it was not retroactive at all. And therefore, the new statute, the Graham-Warner Amendment Act, which is the one we're talking about, which is the one that will be voted on in a day or two or three by the Senate, the Graham-Warner Act tries very clearly to make this retroactive and to strip the courts of jurisdiction completely. If it's decided that it is retroactive, if it's decided that it does in fact, or if it's clear that it does strip the federal courts of jurisdiction, then the court's going to have to decide, does this constitute a suspension of the writ of habeas corpus, or as the Constitution says, of the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus.
Mm-hmm.
If it does, and if we are not faced with rebellion or insurrection, which we're not, obviously, then or invasion, then it's unconstitutional, and the court's going to, I would hope, so rule.
Bill Goodman with us, legal director at the Center for Constitutional Rights. We're talking about the president's desired legislation and what it really means. If you have a question or comment, join us right now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
God listens to Billy Sunshine. Maybe you should too. Sundays, 3 to 5, on KRXA, 540 AM, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar. Coming soon.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Beike have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks. exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues 10 minutes before the hour. And we return with Bill Goodman. He's legal director at the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York. They're front and center in the battle to fight for the rights of detainees at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere. The extra-legal practices of the Bush administration under attack by some fine people there at the Center for Constitutional Rights. And, Bill, I understand that today you held a news conference in New York and released a package called The Faces of Guantanamo. And describe for us, if you will, some of the individuals who are there, who've been there as long as 5 years, never been charged with a crime, and appear to be subject to indefinite detention on these same terms. And that's in contrast to the way Bush spins it, which is that only really bad guys are there. And
the worst of the worst, he called them.
Yeah, and recently he's taken to naming them, like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Those are the people he just put there. Most of the people who he had to put a few people who he can call bad people there, because everyone else he had there just about was, you know, had done virtually nothing. These are farmers and goatherds and people, you know, who were in Pakistan, and the U.S. Army puts out after the Afghan War, puts out a notice, well, you know, we'll give you $5,000 if you turn in a Taliban member, a member of Al-Qaeda. And, you know, if you don't like the guy who's been flirting with your wife, he's on a plane and he's in Cuba, and you're $5,000 richer, which will last a long ways in western Pakistan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's who most of the people, and this has been agreed upon by people who work at Guantanamo, by a study at Seton Hall, law school, everything points in that direction.
Let me just give a couple of examples. Haji Bismullah, an Afghan who fought against the Taliban, served as a provincial government official during the transitional Afghan government. Adel Hassan Hamad, a Sudanese relief worker whose detention was described as unconscionable by a military official at his review tribunal. Dr. Havisullah Shaba Kyle, an Afghan, who was victim of a false arrest while serving on a local commission of elders. And an 80-year-old Afghan named Haji Nusrat, who was arrested and transferred to Guantanamo after he protested his son's arrest. Now, there may be more to these individuals, and if there is, it's the obligation of our government to bring it forward, charge these people, and dispose of these cases, instead of just leaving these people in a legal limbo on the tip of Cuba.
Oh, that's absolutely true, Peter. I mean, the fact is that... You take Mr. Bismillah, for example. Here's a guy who was kicked out of Afghanistan, who left, who organized against them and organized fighting against them, went to Pakistan during the Taliban regime in Afghanistan. He comes back. He gets a job from the government that the United States basically installed in Afghanistan, or mm-hmm. was freely elected, or whatever it was, and he's working. He's now working for the pro-Western Afghani government, and someone from a different clan, a feuding clan, decides they want his job, and bingo, guess what? Where is he? The next thing he wakes up and he's in Afghanistan. It's outrageous. I mean, this is the, believe it or not, democracy and due process and the Constitution really work. And if you start to try to thrash around to find a system, the system that Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney have been using, to replace it, what you end up with is a whole hell of a lot of innocent people who are suffering unbelievable suffering yeah. and separation from their family because of many factors, none of which is that they're a terrorist. So, you know, it's an outrage.
And the real telling factor is the JAGs. The Judge Advocate Generals, the legal beagles from the military, have, you know, tried to pipe up as diplomatically as they can, saying that they want to adhere to Article 3 of the Geneva Convention, and that they want a ban on torture or aggressive interrogation, as Bush prefers to euphemize it. Are those generals being heard on Capitol Hill?
I assume that someone's listening, but at the same time, everyone is so frightened of the terrorism issue. It's been so politicized by the Bush administration. People are so afraid of being, you know, tarred with this brush of being soft on terrorism that they're afraid to resist what is really an assault upon the Constitution of the United States. Far worse than these terrorists could have done without the help of the Bush administration.
Yeah, Bill Goodman, I've got a couple of callers for you. First up, Josh in Salinas. Hello, you're on the air. Josh?
Hey, Peter. We have this horrible government now by ignorance. A federal judge found that President Bush's program of illegal detention was unconstitutional. Is that correct?
The Supreme Court did.
The Supreme Court. So he's asking Congress to create a statute saying that he does not have to follow the Constitution? Has he not had 5th grade and 10th grade civics? Where are the newscasters? Haven't they had 5th grade and 10th grade civics? Aren't they saying, no, a statute cannot override the Constitution?
Josh, you hold on. Don't you attack newscasters. After all, Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston are breaking up.
Oh, yes.
I mean, don't
someone lied about calling Jean-Benet Ramsey, but this is news. This is basic fact. You can't have a congressional statute to override the Constitution.
Well, Bill Goodman, tell us about it.
Well, what the court said in the Hamdan case was that the president didn't have the authority to act because Congress had not given him that authority. He's now gone to Congress and sought that authority. And I think what he's trying to do is to follow, basically connect the dots that were laid out in the Hamdan opinion. The only problem is that the dots that he wants them to follow, I think, result in a plan that is equally as unconstitutional as the one that was addressed in the Hamdan case. This is no longer a question of congressional power giving the president authority to do this. This is the president operating beyond the authority of the Constitution itself. And so I agree that this is it's unconstitutional, but he has no regard for the Constitution. So,
I regard it as creeping fascism. Josh, thank you for the call. Now to Ben in Salinas. Ben, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm angry about the terror tactics being used by this prancing little monkey and his two keepers, Karl Rove and Cheney. How come he can't go anywhere where he might have to say something important without his handlers, this prancing little monkey? Here's my anger. By himself, he's just one human being. But they're giving this prancing little mongoloid the power of life and death over so many people, and worst of all, the power of the purse. He is enabling the looting of our country. This is treason. Where are the good Americans to stop this nonsense?
Well, that's a powerful question, Ben. I appreciate it. Thank you for the call today.
Thank you, sir.
And Bill Goodman, do you feel that most Americans are supportive of the work that you and CCR are doing, or are they too distracted by Bobby and Whitney and JonBenet and all that crap?
You know, I don't know. All I know is I go, I travel around a bit. I speak about this stuff. I was in West Virginia earlier this week in Charleston, which
you know, I go to places that I was in Plattsburgh, New York. Mm-hmm. I go to places that are
just,
not.
Just about 15 seconds, Bill. Go ahead.
And all over the country, I am amazed at how many people are really, really worried and frightened about this stuff.
Well, I'm glad
you know,
to hear that.
I'm not going around talking about revolution or communism or terrorism. I'm talking about protecting the Constitution of the United States. And I think it is something that most Americans do understand and do care about and do relate to.
Bill Goodman, Center for Constitutional Rights. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A roadblock goes up on Capitol Hill.
President Bush personally asks Congress to pass his bill for terror trials, but some Senate Republicans say no.
Ford launches a massive cutback.
It is not selling enough vehicles to make enough money for the size of company that it is.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Dr. Bush made a house call today, but his patient, a plan for dealing with terror suspects, took a turn for the worse. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss begins our coverage.
President Bush made a rare visit to Capitol Hill to personally lobby for bills to authorize warrantless wiretaps and lay down rules for questioning and trying suspected terrorists.
I reminded them that the most important job of government is to protect the homeland.
But just hours later, a Senate committee led by Republicans defied Mr. Bush and passed a bill he's threatened to veto, leaving provisions of the Geneva Convention alone and, says Senator John Warner, barring secret evidence at military tribunals.
If that information is such it would reveal sources and methods, then the trial simply can't go forward.
Former Secretary of State Colin Powell weighed in, saying America has to treat prisoners the way it would want its own soldiers treated if they're captured. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. President Bush made clear he'll veto the version of the bill approved by the Senate committee in the belief it would force the CIA interrogation program to be shut down. Spokesman Tony Snow says the bill must clarify what CIA interrogators can and cannot do.
Torture is prohibited, murder is prohibited, rape is prohibited, cruel and degrading treatment is prohibited. All those things are prohibited, and what we're trying to do is to make clear what the prohibited list is. That's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Snow says the interrogation program has saved lives and helped to foil terror plots. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Now this.
This is a dangerous place. Inside a calculator at tax time, a business owner has this thing smoking. How? He's got a Discover business card, so he downloads statements anytime he wants. Has his purchase records right at his fingertips. A lot faster and easier than a box full of receipts. Hey, ease up there, big guy. You'll sprain your pinky.
It's time to take control with the new Discover business card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
Hi, is Michael there?
This is?
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And, how is it?
It's great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
The day before Ford Motor Company announces additional cutbacks, it's offering all of its hourly workers, more than 75,000 people, a chance to take buyouts or early retirement. Jeff Gilbert of Detroit Station WWJ reports.
Ford's competitor General Motors used a similar buyout plan to successfully cut more than 30,000 jobs. Ford's looking to cut at least that many positions, if not more. But Dave Cole of the Center for Auto Research says Ford may have a tougher time getting its workers to accept buyouts.
The Ford workforce is somewhat younger than the General Motors workforce.
Ford is prepared to announce more job cuts and possibly more plant closings as it steps up the pace of its previously announced turnaround plan. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Dale Jewett of Automotive News says the carmaker is in a long-term struggle to regain market share.
Ford still sells more vehicles than Toyota. But over the last several years, a growing number of people have been shifting their buying presence.
The United Auto Workers Union says the buyouts are worth up to $140,000. Walmart is ending a tradition started more than 40 years ago by founder Sam Walton. The retailing giant says it will no longer offer layaways due to rising costs and declining demand. In Iraq, military spokesman Sergeant Jeremy Pitcher says troops guarding a power plant were targeted today.
Vehicle-borne improvised explosive device exploded. This explosion caused the death of two multinational division Baghdad soldiers. 25 other soldiers were also wounded in the attack.
Elsewhere in the area, an American soldier was killed by small arms fire, and another died in the explosion of a roadside bomb. Baghdad's sectarian violence claimed at least 20 more lives today, and six Iraqis were killed when a car bomb exploded at a soccer field in Fallujah. Authorities in Montreal now say Dawson College shooter Kimvir Gill took his own life by shooting himself in the head. In the aftermath of yesterday's rampage, they'd indicated that Gill was taken down by police gunfire. He shot 20 people, killing one. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Honey, what color should we paint the bedroom?
Nah, sweetie, I don't care.
Okay, then pink it is.
Pink? Now I care.
It's the fall color sale going on now at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Stop in and save 20% on a wide variety of high-quality Sherwin-Williams paints and stains. Plus, get free shipping on custom order wallpaper, too. For painting and decorating,
ask Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss? Exactly. Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano, I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
When Claudia Mitchell waves...
This hour, we spend time with our contributor on military and veterans affairs, Scott Dick. And yes, progressives can support the troops and suggest that we bring the troops home.
One, two, three.
Those who start wars, never fight them.
Yeah, Cheney.
Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies. It's time to go home. To take our boys away, no. To take our girls away, no. To take our boys away, no.
That's Michael Fronte and Spearhead. The new CD is called Yell Fire. And that one is Time to Go Home. Scott Dick served in the Marines and then retired from the United States Army as a major. And he joins us on a regular basis here on the Peter B. Collins Show because he knows so much more than I do about military and veterans issues. Scott, welcome to the show today.
Thanks, Peter. I'm glad to be here.
There's so much to talk about. First up, you wanted to weigh in on the fudged statistics put out by our military related to the carnage in Iraq and in particular in Baghdad during the month of August. They tried to shave the numbers.
Well, I wouldn't call it shaving the numbers. They just didn't include the people killed by bombs, mortars, rockets, or other attacks, including suicide bombings.
Oh, okay.
So there was, of course, there's a dramatic drop in the number of murders. And in fact, they're reporting now that Iraqi violence has spiked and IED attacks have hit a record. So if you take out all of those other bombs, mortar, rockets, suicide bombings, which are, well, they're not really IED attacks, but then you have this magnificent, wonderful, amazing drop that just happens to coincide with us sending more troops into Baghdad. We've been saying all along, Peter, guys like me, if you're going to do this, they need more troops. No emotion there. Sorry.
Well, you know what? I have been reluctant to agree to that or to second it, but I do have to say that at this point, we have so little control over the security of that country that if Bush does plan to stay in Iraq as long as he is president, you're right. We should put more troops in there. I mean, it's not popular. It's not something that I want to see on a big picture basis. But in very practical terms, we're not able to secure even the capital city. And here's a case in point, Scott. Last night on the NewsHour on PBS, they quoted a couple of different sources in Baghdad as they followed troops around. And what they're doing is they're securing a neighborhood, say, like Sadr City. Then they hand it off to the Iraqi Defense Forces, and the U.S. has to move on because we don't have anybody else to replace those American troops with to back them up. And it's kind of the Fallujah policy, or I guess whack-a-mole is the military shorthand for it. But we keep having to refight battles, reclaim territory that we've previously won.
Yeah, that's a doctrinal tactic invented by President Bush and Dick Cheney called whack-a-mole. And we knew this was going to be a cakewalk, Peter, so we don't need to send more troops in. But funny thing, they kept those 3,200 guys from the Striker Brigade from going home to Alaska, and they just happen to have 147,000 troops in Iraq now. But the Pentagon is saying, that's not a troop increase, that's just a handover. We have new troops coming in and old troops that haven't left yet, like the Striker Brigade.
Mm-hmm.
So we have more troops, 147, it's been around 127, 130 for the last 6 or 8 months. But there's no connection between the violence that's going on and the sectarian violence. Now, the violence is not, there's no civil war, but the spike has come from murder executions. And probably, according to Major General William Caldwell, as a result of an increase in sectarian violence around Baghdad.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting because we have noted over the last few weeks that attempts are being made to put out the truth from the Pentagon, and it often flies directly into conflict with the rosy statements coming out of the White House. 2 weeks ago tomorrow, the president gave a speech, one of this series of early September, where he said, sure, it's tough in Iraq, but it's getting better. And the same day, the Pentagon released this very somber and discouraging report where they clarified the figures that they had fudged in the August or the early September report on August. And they admitted that this is, you know, threatening to reel out of control.
Well, then on Tuesday that they released that secret cable that was sent from the Anbar province to D.C. by that the Marine Intel Colonel, I don't have his name handy, who said that basically Anbar province is lost. And, of course, they immediately ran to the CG that was in charge, and he said, we have enough troops. We don't need more troops here. We have enough troops to accomplish our mission. And then if you pull out the fine print is his mission is to train the Iraqis not to win or defeat the terrorists. Or the insurgents, I should say. I hate calling them terrorists because it's ridiculous.
Well, you're right. Now, this is interesting because Michael Gordon, who wrote Cobra 2, is a New York Times reporter. And this story is in the Times today. And it says, grim report out of Anbar is disputed by general. And this story doesn't give the original citation of who said that things are really dire there. But they quote Major General Richard C. Zillmer, For what we're trying to achieve out here, I think our force levels are about right. Now, if that mission statement changes, if there's seen a larger role for coalition forces out here to win that insurgency fight, then that's going to change the metrics of what we need out here.
Metrics is a great euphemism for more troops. See, this is ridiculous, Peter. There's a senior Marine intelligence colonel who sits at the top of the intel pyramid, and the general knows exactly what people tell him, and no more, no less. So they've told him everything, and of course his DC handlers have said, Zoomer, if you want to keep your job, just tell him what your mission is, and tell him you have enough troops to do your mission.
Scott Dick is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome on any issues related to military, foreign policy, veterans affairs. You can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B or 888-573-8372. We go to Howard in Carmel Valley. Hello, Howard. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B.
Hi.
I've got a question. Why in the heck does Mr. Bush go up to Capitol Hill to get them to pass his version of a bill when he's going to ignore everything that they do anyway?
Well, it is interesting, isn't it?
Every time he passes a bill, he signs that signing letter saying, I'm not going to abide by the terms of this bill. The heck with checks and balances. The Constitution's out the window. Why does he bother to go up to Capitol Hill?
Well, you make a good point. I compare the signing statements to crossing his fingers as he signs a bill or other element into law. And you do raise, I think, an interesting question, because Bush and Cheney have spent a lot of time negotiating with McCain and others to try to maintain a torture policy, the freedom to torture, to maintain this draconian detention policy and their ability to keep people without charging them indefinitely. And they've expended a lot to hold on to it. It leads you to believe that they have something to hide.
Exactly. And speaking of torture policy, everybody's saying, well, they're only going to torture the terrorists anyway, except nowadays they're classifying animal rights people and ecological protesters as terrorists. They're terrorizing the poor corporations who might have to have less profit. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
And so they're classifying us, Americans, as terrorists, domestic terrorists, and thereby making us subject to all of those terror policies, all of those torture policies, extraction and rendition and imprisonment without charge, as Zarqawi.
Yeah. Well, Howard, you're right on target. You're very well informed. I appreciate your call today.
Thank you, Peter B.
All right. Thanks for joining us. That's Howard in Carmel Valley. And you can pick up a line and call us, too, at 888-5-PETER-B. Scott, we're going to take a quick break and return. We'll talk more with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello? Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, hear from Tim Mankey, owner and president of GM Real Estate. He'll talk about the exciting market of Dallas-Fort Worth. Give him a call at 916-208-9000. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
A couple of accidents. Live Oak, 17th Avenue at Kinsley Street. It's an injury accident. Two vehicles involved in this one. Emergency crews are en route to take care of it. Boulder Creek Highway 9 at Irwin Way. We have an injury accident there as well. Motorcycle and a van are involved. The right-hand shoulder has been cleared out of the roadway. So emergency crews en route for that as well. Highway 17, both directions through Santa Cruz Mountains, checking in, stalling, accident-free. Just starting to see brake lights southbound Highway 1 between Monterey and Carmel. Also, both directions of 156 between Castroville and San Juan Bautista, you're going to see your normal slow-and-go traffic there. This report brought to you by River Rock Casino. Sign up for a new Players Club at River Rock Casino and receive free casino play only at River Rock Casino in Alexander Valley. See Players Club for details. I'm Dio Traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Just wading through a pile of emails during the break. You can always drop me a note, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And this one came in from Chaz. Says, Peter, I have a couple of questions I wish I could ask Bush. He says, first, why does he think that no attack on the U.S. in 5 years is better than the no attack in 7 years under Clinton? Like, numbers don't lie? Next, how will the Iraqis follow us back here to America if we withdraw from Iraq? They have no Air Force, Navy, or ICBMs. Only airlines and ocean liners are available to them, both very expensive ways to travel. Is Cheney and Bush saying that thousands of these people from 7,000 miles away will get the necessary passports, slip by our customs with weapons as they disembark cruise ships and commercial jets? I can only conclude that the pair of them are delusional or fear-mongering liars. Scott, how do you feel when you hear the president lay out those lines? In his non-political speech commemorating 9/11 on Monday, he once again talked about how we got to fight them over there before they come over here. And this emailer, Chaz, makes a pretty interesting point.
Well, that's a riff off of Churchill's speech after the Battle of Britain when they thought maybe the Nazis were going to invade. And it was first trotted out in the Vietnam War as a justification for taking the fight against anti-communism, you know, the anti-communist fight to Vietnam.
Okay.
So this is nothing new. This is, I think, on the surface, it's ridiculous. Terrorism can pop up anywhere that anybody has it in their brain to do so. And so they can, it'd be easier for me, Peter, if he said, we're going to find, kill or capture al-Qaeda. We're going to dismember it as an organization. We're going to make sure it never rears its ugly head in any form ever again. That is something I can understand. Al-Qaeda has attacked us here in the country, but just to use the word terrorism, it's nonsense.
Yes, it is. I fully agree with you. Let's take another call here. We have Diane in Monterey. Hello, Diane. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick. Diane, oh, I didn't press the right button. Let me try this again. Diane, this is take two.
Hi, Peter. I'm sorry. I just came into range. I'm on the road, so I'm not sure anybody has raised this issue about why Bush went to Capitol Hill. But wouldn't it behoove him to get permission, so even though it would be ex post facto, so that if anyone ever raised whether his actions were illegal and whether the Democrats take back Congress, that might be raised, then he would be covering his rear end.
I suppose that is a consideration, but he hasn't seemed very concerned about that in the NSA spying case, where he acknowledges that he has routinely and repeatedly broken the FISA law. And now he wants Congress to change the law to accommodate his behavior.
Exactly.
And I just find that deeply offensive.
I do as well. But I do think he might want to change the law so that no one comes after him legally if we do get our power back.
Well, and if he does end up in the clink somewhere, I will fight to make sure that the terms of the Geneva Convention are applied to his detention.
Hey, Peter.
And I'll fight to make sure no one brings him a file.
Peter, can I jump in for a second?
Go ahead, Scott. Yeah.
I think, as I was going to respond to the last caller before the break, is that I think that's precisely what he's doing. There is something called the International War Crimes Tribunal. And I think they were sort of frightened a little bit by the dictator in Chile. I forgot his name. He just lost his immunity. Congress down there voted.
Pinochet.
Mm-hmm. Voted to eliminate his immunity as acting under the color of law. And even though we're not signatories to the treaty yet, we very well could be.
Right.
And people file claims many, many years, as we know, 30, 40, 50 years. People are winning lawsuits against Nazi-inspired seizures of property, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they could make this okay, then that would give him some mantle of legitimacy.
Yeah, and he's got a few friends on the Supreme Court. Who should be able to help him domestically. But you're right about the International Criminal Court. We're not currently participating. But, hey, as fast as Judge Judy gets on TV, we could change that.
it's something that... And that's one reason we're not signatories, because with our very aggressive foreign policy, using military as an arm of our State Department, then there's ample opportunities to conduct, war crime.
Yeah. Diane, very good point. Anything else you want to add?
Well, yes, on the issue of the Democratic Party with the IC missing, can I make a suggestion that we call them Republicans? Can't find Osama, can't solve this war on terror, and can't get out of Beirut.
Oh, Diane, you appeasers just love to get involved in name-calling. You defeatocrats, self-loathing Americans. I feel sorry for you.
I know. Thank you so much.
Thanks, and I'm glad you have such a good sense of humor. I appreciate that. In a caller, you can join us, 888-5 Peter B. Scott Dick is with us this entire hour, and there's lots more to talk about. Up next, Scott, I wanted to talk about Afghanistan, which was the place where we first declared mission accomplished as we diverted resources and troops from there into the pre-war planning for Iraq, and it's spinning out of control. More suicide bombers in the past 9 months than they've seen in the last 3 years in Afghanistan. And NATO is scrambling because generals on the ground in Afghanistan said we need at least 2,500 more troops. And at a NATO meeting yesterday, no volunteers came forward to bring more troops into Afghanistan.
Well, I heard a late-breaking deal that the Poles are actually going to bring in 1,000 more troops.
Okay.
So they have 100 there now, and they're going to bring in 1,000, which makes them probably equal with everybody else. But there's a lot of countries who promise troops, and they haven't brought them. They're not forthcoming. Costs a lot, and normally they get the money from NATO. Afghanistan, if we call Iraq whack-a-mole, I don't know. We've become the moles in Afghanistan. There's with the International Security Assistance Force, I love that name. That's the NATO-led operation. That's 18,000 plus 2,000 Americans. And then in the southern part, they're in the south. And then the eastern part is our 18,000 troop force of Americans, and that's the most dangerous. That's along the border with Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Germans up north. Now, you would think they'd be able to shift the Germans, but their rules of engagement prohibit going down south.
Okay.
So those troops up in Germany are going to stay there, and we've noticed they've stayed out of the news.
Yes, they have.
So that area is pretty fine. And then
but the Canadians have taken a lot of casualties in the last 2 weeks alone.
The Canadians have, and the Brits as well, and the Dutch, they're bearing the burden down in the south, those three players. The Dutch haven't always, they've never struck me as being top-notch troops, none like the Danes and the Swedes. So it's a pretty, you know, I think those guys, the NATO troops, as I said before on the show months ago, Peter, they're pretty soft targets, and the Brits, they have some experience, but the Canadians, you know, they haven't been fighting anywhere lately.
50 years.
Yeah, they were in Germany until, you know, after the wall came down, then they left. So they really haven't been playing in the big operations that we had always in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have this, you know, the Taliban and people who are anti-occupiers coming out of the woodwork, literally.
Well, and after the break, we'll talk a little bit more about Musharraf and Hamid Karzai trying to make a deal with the Taliban. Hey, keep it quiet there in South Waziristan, and we won't shoot at you anymore. We'll pick up there as we continue with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Call us at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Is nature about to impose term limits? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The warning from NASA couldn't be clearer.
We will have, within the century, extinction of a substantial fraction of the species on the planet.
And the reason is that, according to NASA research, since 2004, the 10-foot ice layer that covers the Arctic Ocean has decreased by an area roughly the size of Texas. This is the ice that controls sea level, and the rapid warming shows no sign of stopping.
I'm not saying that life will be extinguished on the planet, but it's going to be a much less desirable planet if we stay on that course.
A much less desirable planet. That could be trouble, especially with Pluto out of the solar system. We only have seven other options now. So what do we do? Well, first, we have to get control of the vocabulary. We have to call global warming what it really is, the greenhouse gassing of our own people. Climatological terrorism, which means the only question is, which marine division do we send to the Arctic? And if that doesn't work, I would recommend denial, because the NASA research isn't all bad. NASA points out that a warmer Arctic could open up the Northwest Passage year-round, allowing for Arctic luxury cruises. And the best part is, your cruise ship would be able to dock right at your downtown hotel. I figure at about the third floor in 20 or 30 years. So you want to book above that, of course.
Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I'm proud that millions of my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuums are used around the world. What makes me really proud is that the Orrick XL Hotel Upright is produced right here in the good old USA. To try my American vacuum risk-free for 30 days, call me at 1-800-989-4200. And if someone tries to tell you that American products are second best, they obviously haven't tried my 8-pound Orrick XL. 1-800-989-4200.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752. 2 Freedom Boulevard in Apton.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues, and I'm still your humble host, Peter B. 33 minutes past the hour. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with us about military, veterans issues, our foreign policy, the quagmire in Iraq. It's all up for grabs as we continue our weekly visit with Scott Dick. He retired as an Army major, if you remember. And he's got a lot of inside information, at least much more inside than I ever got. I was subject to the draft, and I declined the honor. And I don't have any great regrets about not serving in the military, Scott, but you've had a very interesting life, a very rich life that's taken you a lot of different places in the world and given you viewpoints or observation points on a lot of different aspects of American foreign policy.
Yeah, I could say, yeah, that was accurate. The Army sent me to school. They took very good care of me. But I have to say, Peter, as I was exiting the Army was becoming more and more zero defect. And after I got out, I met a young female captain who was saying in her unit, it was taking a lieutenant colonel of 05 permission to change bullets on a PowerPoint slide presentation.
Wow.
Yeah, frightening. And so now we have our troops in combat, and I think from what I'm hearing from guys like Joe Galloway, who basically drinks beer with these generals, that sort of mindset is still in place. And at the upper echelons, is don't make waves and don't tell the unvarnished truth. And we, as I said before, Peter, you know that our troops and the soldiers on the ground need more troops, and their officers have been begging for more troops, and it just gets up to a certain level, and then they know better to ask if they want to keep their jobs. And that reminds me, General Sanchez, who was leading 5th Corps in Germany, just changed command. He retired, very quiet. It was not in the media. And guess what? He has no replacement. So it wasn't a normal rotation.
Do you think that's related to Gitmo? I'm sorry, Abu Ghraib?
I think very much that there's a huge bomb there that went off. It was like a stealth bomb, and he's out. Mm-hmm. And they have the 1st Division, the 1st Armored Division commander is acting 5th Corps commander, which is crazy. Normally, a new lieutenant general comes right in, and they do a whole ceremony, because a lot of times these change of commands are also retirement ceremonies for that general.
Right.
And I don't know if people know that you have to have permission to retire as a 3-star, and to get a 4-star job, you have to be nominated by the president and confirmed by the Senate. And to get paid at that rate for the rest of your life, it also has to be approved by the Senate. So it'll be very interesting to see if they allow him to retire as a 3-star general.
Mm-hmm.
But I was shocked when I saw that he retired and he has no replacement. That's very, very unusual.
Yeah, and that's the first I've heard of it. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. Scott, in the first segment, we were talking about Anbar Province, and I was unable to find the author of the original report, but I keep stacks and stacks of clippings here in a messy pile on the table next to the microphone, and I found it. Colonel Peter Devlin at the Marine Headquarters in Anbar Province filed the original report saying that things are pretty thin there and that the American military needs additional support. So I don't quite have the date here, but it looks like that came out about 3 days ago in advance of this denial from the general who we cited a little bit earlier.
Well, what I heard, Peter, was that it came out 3 weeks ago, but, or should I say, it was sent from Iraq to D.C. 3 weeks ago, and it's been cooking at the Pentagon, and for a lot of officers there, it just confirms what they already know, and they've been trying to batter down doors with it. And so somehow it surfaced, and it's a classified document.
Mm-hmm. The dateline here is September 11th. Michael Gordon is the author of the story in the New York Times, and it reads in part, Marine commanders have been mounting a campaign to secure the province, Anbar, in the face of a virulent insurgency. But they've had to cope with seriously shorthanded Iraqi army units and a Shiite-dominated government in Baghdad that has tended to view the area as low priority for government spending and programs. One factor that has hampered the American counterinsurgency effort has been the limited number of American troops.
Duh.
So there's that story. Now, I wanted to complete our thought about Afghanistan, and then we got a couple of callers I want to get to.
Okay.
Just before the break, we were talking about the, you kind of gave us a quick tour of the country, and the various deployments of NATO troops or NATO flag troops trying to secure a huge country that has never in history ever been successfully invaded, which speaks to its topography and to the cultural composition. But recently it was stunning to me, Scott, that Hamid Karzai, our handpicked leader of the new Afghan government, and Pervez Musharraf, the general strongman in Pakistan whom we claim as our ally, they held a news conference to announce that they'd cut a deal with the Taliban. And this is the lowercase Taliban, not Mullah Omar, they want us to believe, but a slightly different flavor. And they basically have said that the Pakistani efforts to secure South Waziristan province have been unsuccessful, and they're going to stop trying. And they're basically going to cede this territory to the tribal units and to the Taliban. And this is exactly where we believe Osama and Zawahiri are hiding.
Well, he's got peace in his own in our time. And the Taliban is like a duck. Is it a duck with a capital D or a duck with a small d?
Right.
So the Taliban, I read that a couple of articles on that, and they have made peace with those. They're going to withdraw their troops, although they do retain the right for hot pursuit, and they're not going to allow terrorists to operate openly, but they've turned it back over. It was a semi-autonomous region to begin with, so when they put troops in there, it just made things worse. And, you know, we let the Bush administration let Osama bin Laden slip through his fingers, and now we've effectively, Peter, cut and run and set a timetable for our troop withdrawal from Afghanistan.
I haven't heard it described that way, Scott. But
we cut and run, and
you're
the timetable
right.
is as NATO increases its forces, the U.S., as the NATO troops stand up, we're going to stand down. And there is no way even close to that mission to be accomplished. The girls are back in the burqas. They're back behind closed doors. The schools have been disappeared. The one member, female member of the cabinet, you know, she was aced out in April of 2006. They didn't splash that all over the news.
Right.
So it's rapidly returning back to where it came from, which is a certain level of you know, wilderness. And we have a timetable for leaving Afghanistan, and we've cut and run, and I don't know what the big deal is. We ought to do the same thing in Iraq or do it right and put those put 500,000 troops in there.
One or the other.
One or the other.
Dave joins us from Humboldt. Hello, Dave. You're on the air with Scott Dick and Peter B.
Peter B. and Scott Dick. Everywhere I look for further understanding, further insight into what we have going on over there in the Middle East, I become more and more convinced it's totally without any noble benefit. It's very profitable. There were cons planning this for the profits for a long time. It was necessary. They needed this war to be able to launder the billions of dollars that go from our treasury into the pockets of Halliburton and Bechtel and General Electric and the big petroleum companies. So, and everything I hear is confirming that we have no honorable intent. It's just a big greed fiasco. And
well, and Dave, if you were listening yesterday, you seem to listen all the time. But when Dar Jamil was here, we had these riveting emails from people living under the occupation in Baghdad. They basically are homebound. They have no power in their homes, so they're sitting there. It's cooling off a little bit this time of year, but imagine what the summer was like with an hour a day of electricity. And this one doctor we cited an email from had to go out to get gasoline to run his generator so he could keep the AC running at home. But you have to wait in line a day and a half to get gasoline in the country with the world's largest oil reserves.
Well, you know, incidentally, I've been attending a number of these 911 meetings. They're popping up all over the place, and people are saying, I know you. You're Dave from Humboldt County. And, of course, I try to deny it, but they said they know me.
You're out, Dave.
I'm going to have to stop calling.
Okay. Thanks a lot for joining us
today.
Thank
you, guys.
All right, next we go to line two, and let me click here. It is Ed in Aptos. Hello, Ed.
Greetings.
Hi.
I wonder if Scott's been caught up with the RPG or the anti-RPG fiasco that's going on.
Yeah, you know, this is something that's come up from a couple of callers, and when I was on the Tom Hartman show last week from Washington, there were at least two mentions of this. And so if either of you know, well, I'm content to admit that probably both of you know more about this than I do. But what a caller told me is that Israel has developed a sophisticated anti-rocket-propelled grenade device or system, and that the U.S. is not buying it or deploying it because of conflicts with American contractors who have not developed, as far as I know, they haven't developed a similar system or weapon, and yet the Pentagon is refusing to buy the Israeli system out of deference to U.S. contractors. That's the gist of it. Scott, what do you know?
What I saw was a report that said in the process of selecting the piece of equipment is that they supposedly did a test, and of course the company that got it, the Raytheon, had nothing to test because the only system they have is on paper. And so the Israelis did a test, and they invited the generals and people in charge of acquisition, and nobody came. And the emails that they received from an unknown source said, we don't want to have any kind of, you know, show that I forgot the name of the Israeli weapons
company.
System.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to show any favoritism. We don't want to show like that we want this system. So Raytheon got the system, and what the whole gist of the report is about is that the acquisition team at the Department of Defense that chose Raytheon to develop and produce this system, this defensive system, seven of the people on the team out of the 18 work for Raytheon.
Oh, great.
They're embedded contractors, and there's a lot of government agencies that have embedded contractors, and they're not all, you know, evil. But in this case, to deny the troops a protective device now, and, you know, they said it's going to take us between 4 and 5 years to get this thing off the ground. If it's anything like Star Wars, you know, we're going to have a lot of troops to die just in the testing of it.
Yeah, yeah. Ed, your comment, or you have additional info?
Yeah, I heard that the timeline for the U.S. system is it'll be ready in 2011.
Just in time for our defensive back.
But what I was worrying about is just the infighting and all the crap that goes on in the Pentagon. The what you cited earlier, where you get these guys that are toadying up to the administration and tell them what they hear about troop strength levels, you know, so they can come back and say, see, we don't need any more troops. You get these guys that, you know, like Tommy Franks, that supersized pimp.
Ooh.
I mean, him planning this war and the his performance on that is almost treasonous.
Well, that's an interesting comment. I'm still chuckling over your supersize. I thought that was pretty good, Ed.
Okay. Scott, keep up your good work.
Okay, thanks, Ed. Go ahead, Scott.
The thing about weapon selection is, Peter, the people in the United States think the American military, they're on the cutting edge, and we've turned down so many weapons that would do us good. We turned down the machine gun when it was first introduced. You know, that idiot cavalry commander at the Battle of Little Bighorn would have taken his Gatling guns, you know, he probably would have won. Instead, he left them behind because they're too slow and ungainly.
Mm-hmm.
Custer had three Gatling guns, and he left them at home. The bazooka was rejected as being a device not worthy of our military. It's that you could just go on down the line.
Well, why won't they reject Star Wars then? It's not worthy. It's a pile of crap.
You know, these are army generals that are supposed to be innovative and on the cutting edge, and they're very slow. And then they get out and they go to work for big corporations like Raytheon and, you know, Lockheed and all these other guys. And so they're not going to make a mess in their own mess kits, if you don't mind me paraphrasing an old army expression.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to make waves because they stand, you know, the old rules about guys getting out of the military, government service, and going to work for the continent, you know, those things, the Bush administration's not enforcing those.
Yeah.
And so if you're working as a lieutenant colonel and you're looking after all the contracts at KBR or Halliburton, and you get out and you already know contracts, you get hired as a contract administrator.
We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. There's still room for more calls, so grab a line if you'd like to talk with us. 888-573-8372 or 1-888-5-PETER-B. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit my website, drop me an email at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
coming Sunday, September 10th at 2 p.m., Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay. We'll be working on solutions for tomorrow today. Join me each Sunday to discuss peak oil, global warming, renewable energy, green building, and more. I'll be bringing in experts in these fields, and you can call in to add your ideas so we can work together on the solutions to the issues that face us today for a better tomorrow. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, starting this Sunday afternoon at 2, because tomorrow matters.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Starting in Boulder Creek, Highway 9 at Irwin Way, we have a major injury accident there. The southbound lane has been shut down. Car and a motorcycle involved in this one. They have been cleared from the roadway, but emergency crews are on scene blocking that lane. Carmel, southbound 1 at Carpenter Street, we have a stalled vehicle. This vehicle is blocking the left-hand lane. In an injury accident in Live Oak, 17th Avenue at Kinsley Street, two vehicles involved in this. Emergency crews are on scene, but they are all over to the shoulder there. Keep your eyes open in Soledad, northbound 101 at 146, several rolled-up carpets in both of the lanes there. This report is brought to you by River Rock Casino. Sign up for a new Players Club card at River Rock Casino and receive $10 in free casino play only from River Rock Casino in Alexander Valley. See Players Club for details. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up after the top of the hour, it's our daily free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome on any subject. Thank you, Elvis Costello. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And Scott, you had a story you wanted to tell us about Congressman Duncan Hunter from Southern California and the role of military chaplains.
Well, they've had this ongoing, not scandal, but sort of tension in the military, because there's some evangelical Christian chaplains who can't hold their tongues. In other words, they stand up in front of a big, large group of troops and then praise Jesus. And I've seen all sorts of chaplains. Some of the best ones that I served with were Catholic. They're from different religions. Some that were from more firebrand, sort of conservative Southern Baptist kind of congregations. Also toned down their rhetoric when they were wearing the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that debacle at the Air Force Academy, where there was just this out-and-out sort of, you know, proselytizing to the young airmen, they passed a regulation that said that they couldn't be so, like, obnoxious. And so the Hunters added this provision that that has prohibited that the military from have any policy limiting what a chaplain may say in a public prayer. That provision says that other than for military necessity, nothing should be done to limit chaplains from praying as their conscience tells them.
Really?
Well, the problem with that is that sounds all great.
But what about my freedom from religion, having it forced on you, particularly when you're wearing the uniform and you may not have a choice but to listen to that chaplain's spiel?
Exactly. And there's no separation of church and state in the military. The chaplains are paid. They're recruited by the military. They work for the government. And they're a religious source of religion. However, a battalion has one chaplain, and he must administer to every soldier in that chaplain or in that battalion, or he's not doing his job. So if he's a conservative evangelical, he's going to be limited in his ability to administer to everybody else. And he's required. It was one per battalion, Peter. And sometimes they don't even have that. They have maybe two for the brigade, and then they shift them around. So that's one for every 550 troops. And they have no idea how many Jews and Buddhists and Wiccans and, you know, Christians from other sects that they have in their battalions and their brigades.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obnoxious to stand up there and listen to somebody preach some of these sermons that are disguised as prayers that really should be in a revival hall, not standing in formation in front of, 550 or 1,500 uniformed American soldiers.
Well, we're going to have to refer this to the law office of Michael Newdow, the guy in Sacramento who's trying to get the under God part out of the Pledge of Allegiance.
Right. Peter, can I jump in and tell a quick story about the congressional military complex?
Go ahead. I got time.
This is back on what he was, one of the callers was saying about this, you know, the prophets. You know, Fiorello LaGuardia, the first, one of the most famous mayors of New York,
mm-hmm.
We all know who he is.
Yeah.
He was elected to the House of Representatives, and the first bill that he introduced made it a capital crime for a government contractor to provide a product, good, or service that resulted in the death of a soldier. Isn't that funny?
I didn't know that.
And, of course...
Is that still on the books?
No, it was hooted down. It never passed.
Oh, I see.
And the reason is because he grew up in the West. His father was a cavalry officer. He was a captain in the Army, been a captain for 20 years. And he died from contractor-provided tainted beef. And so they've always called it the military-industrial complex, but when we're talking about things like the V-22 Osprey, where that's just a death machine, and Marines get in it and die, it's supposed to be that big rotating rotor helicopter half...
Right.
It's all disaster. Or
it's supposed to convert from a helicopter to a plane after it takes off, right?
Thank you. I know it so well, I can't explain it. I mean, it's ridiculous, the whole concept, but the Marine generals that are on top of it are saying, oh, this plane will fly. Well, you notice they're not being used anywhere right now.
Well, they should put one down there with a spruce goose in Long Beach.
It's been in development, use quotation marks, for like 30 years, and we just can't get it to work. And so it's a thing like this deal with Raytheon, and they could feel that Israeli device right now on our troops and our Strikers and our Humvees, and it would probably save lives. But instead, hey, let's help Raytheon make a profit. They're embedded in the military, so hey, let's go.
Well, they just did another phony test of the Star Wars system where they were able to program it to shoot down a target whose trajectory they planned and, programmed the attack rocket into. It's just ridiculous. It was a video game.
It's nice to have the coordinates of the attacking missile before you send out the interceptor.
Yeah, and chances are that won't happen in a real-world, real-conflict situation. Scott, I wanted to touch on one more thing, and that is a report that came out from the Pentagon saying that there is no such thing as Gulf War Syndrome. And even as they acknowledge that over 30% of those who served in Desert Storm have come down with symptoms of various illnesses, they're not ready to say that there is a Gulf War Syndrome.
Well, Peter, because if they admitted it, it would cost them money. And I don't know if your listeners are aware also that there's a new scandal. There's a new bandage that stops. It's embedded with a chemical that helps stop wounds bleeding immediately. There's actually a charity going out and trying to get people to give money so we can buy more of those to give them to our troops. So anything that's going to cost the government money, except for contracting, they don't want to spend a dime for. I'm talking about the Bush administration. And so it doesn't surprise me. The VA is, the top is they're cronies of Bush. And, you know, we don't need credit monitoring anymore either because we recovered that
laptop.
So, you know, what we did to our, we're doing to our Gulf War veterans, what we did to our Agent Orange veterans, what we did to our atomic veterans. You know, if we just wait long enough, Peter, they'll be dead, and then we can settle it after they're all dead.
Well, that's a cruel and cynical way of putting it, but I think it effectively captures the attitude of our government. And it's interesting, in this whole description, this is a story from the Associated Press. It might be 400 or 500 words long. They talk about various theories about Lou Gehrig's disease, or ALS, among Gulf War veterans, and anxiety disorders, depression, substance abuse. Not one mention of depleted uranium, which I think may be one of the significant players in Gulf War syndrome.
Well, depleted uranium doesn't help. The smoke from the oil fields didn't help. That toxic cocktail of preventive anthrax,
right.
Malaria,
vaccinations,
all untested. That none of that stuff helped. And then you put it all together, and nope, our troops, you know, they just got some kind of mysterious thing. And I remember, Peter, at the beginning, colonels and things that were going down from this, they called them malingerers.
Malingerers.
I'll
right.
never forget that.
Scott, thanks for joining us. A great hour.
It's a pleasure. Appreciate
Scott
it,
Dick,
Peter.
Right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll continue and go to the Free Speech Zone next. I want you to call and express yourself right here.
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together, we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540 KRXA.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Katie Couric. CBS News and I are so excited that 5:40 a.m. will be airing my notebook every weekday at 6:04 p.m. I'll be sharing my thoughts about politics, culture, and life in general with Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz right here on KRXA 5:40 a.m. So join me, Katie Couric, for Katie's Notebook right after the Peter B. Collins Show and CBS News at 6:04 in the evening from Monday through Friday on KRXA 5:40 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 5:40, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Usually loyal Republican senators are bucking President Bush on his plan for handling suspected terrorists. Despite a personal appeal from the president during a visit to Capitol Hill, CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson reports the Armed Services Committee approved an alternate plan crafted by John McCain, John Warner, and Lindsey Graham.
It didn't help that General Colin Powell, President Bush's Secretary of State when the war on terror began, today released a letter opposing his former boss. The world is beginning to doubt the moral basis of our fight against terrorism, Powell wrote. The main disagreement is over White House provisions that would protect CIA interrogators from war crimes charges, prevent detainees from seeing classified evidence against them, and allow prosecutors to use evidence gained through prisoner interrogations.
Mr. Bush threatens to veto the measure in its present form. Popeye might want to switch to romaine. Federal health officials say an outbreak of E. coli in 8 states has been traced to bagged fresh spinach. At least one person died and 50 others got sick. The outbreak affects Connecticut, Idaho, Indiana, Michigan, New Mexico, Oregon, Utah, and Wisconsin. An official at the Food and Drug Administration says they're advising people not to eat bagged spinach. On the eve of announcing more job cuts and plant closings, Ford Motor Company confirms it's offering buyouts or early retirement packages to more than 75,000 hourly workers.
Ford will formally present the buyout offer tomorrow morning. Employees will be offered anywhere from $35,000 to $140,000. To leave the company.
CBS News business correspondent Anthony Mason. Tom Libby of J.D. Power says Ford has to scale down as it struggles to reestablish its brands and build market share.
It has to get back to making money so it can invest those funds in products that the consumers want, that can regain its stature and its market share. In the long run, this will help the company become healthy and then be able to provide jobs.
20 more bodies were found in Baghdad today, victims of the continuing sectarian violence. And on the outskirts of the Iraqi capital, CBS News correspondent Lara Logan reports a suicide car bombing killed 2 American troops and wounded 25.
The U.S. soldiers that were wounded in this attack were actually guarding an Iraqi power station. It's a facility in the west of Baghdad near Abu Ghraib in that area. And they were attacked by a suicide bomber in a truck. It was an unusually large bomb.
Officials say two other soldiers were also killed in the Baghdad area, one by a roadside bomb and one by small arms fire. And they've announced the death of a soldier yesterday in Mosul. That brings the U.S. military death toll since the beginning of the war to 2,676. On Wall Street, mixed results today. The Dow Industrials down 15 points to 11,527. The Nasdaq gained 1 point to close at 22.28. And the price of oil fell 75 cents. This is CBS News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if you're insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
CBS News correspondent Peter King reports on an effort in Florida to discourage over-imbibing.
The city of Tampa is considering a ban on free drink, cheap drink, ladies' night, and all-you-can-drink specials because they target young people and promote excessive drinking. Jay Laris is the bar manager at the Press Box Sports Emporium in Tampa. He says if it happens...
I've already come up with different ideas of what I'll have to do to, you know, basically get around it.
He says bar owners will just have to get more creative to keep the business coming in. About 30 states are believed to have similar laws, but one alcohol activist tells the St. Petersburg Times that a local ordinance might be easier to pass. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Social drinking, on the other hand, can benefit your career. So say two economists who are trying to counter crackdowns on alcohol consumption and proposals to raise taxes on booze. In their study, they say social drinkers tend to be more gregarious, have more friends and more business contacts, and higher incomes, 10% higher for men, 14% for women. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
This is a dangerous place. Inside a calculator at tax time, a business owner has this thing smoking. How? He's got a Discover business card, so he downloads statements anytime he wants. Has his purchase records right at his fingertips. A lot faster and easier than a box full of receipts. Hey, ease up there, big guy. You'll sprain your pinky.
It's time to take control with the new Discover business card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
Hi, is Michael there?
This is?
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And, how is it?
It's great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
It's a free speech party, and it's just getting started on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open for you. And if you haven't already programmed it into the speed dial on that fancy cell phone, why don't you do it now? It's 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. That's the easy way to remember. But then when you get ready to dial it, you got to, you know, figure out the numbers and letters and you get really hacked off, right? 888-573-8372. It's simple. We do not screen your calls for content or viewpoint. Matt Renner, our able producer, tries to make sure you're generally coherent and speaking in a language that most of us can understand. But you can call with a comment on any subject from any point of view from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Again, my number is 888-5-PETER-B. And there is so much to talk about. I want to ask our listeners in the Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz area to comment on this issue. And if you're in the North State, you can do so as well. San Francisco Chronicle reporting that over the last few months, 107 illegal immigrants have been arrested and deported. These arrests occurred in Watsonville, Santa Cruz, and Hollister. Part of a new crackdown on illegal immigration by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Department. It's called Operation Return to Sender. Nationally, they've arrested about 24,000 people, 2,000 of them in Northern California. And of that 24,000 total, 6,800 have been deported. Now, on the face of it, you might say, well, gosh, if they're illegal and our government is finally getting around to enforcing the law, what's your problem? PETER-B. And the problem is that in some of these cases, the individuals are deported immediately, and they have children. Children who are left behind and then become wards of the state or orphans or have to go into foster care. And so a group of religious leaders spoke out yesterday near Santa Cruz. They called a news conference. And they complained about what's going on. Stacy Tolkien, an immigration attorney representing two children whose parents have been deported to Mexico, said the operation is much more aggressive than in the past. Don't deport them the same day, she said. Give them access to counsel. You're ripping them away from their families. It is really malicious. And so I'd like to hear if you know about this, and if so, what you think about it. Because I do believe that our government has every right to enforce our laws. I don't like to see it done selectively or maliciously. And I do think that care has to be taken that in the effort or the zeal of enforcing the laws, you don't create bigger problems. You know, like young children who are left without their parents. So I'd like to hear your thoughts about that. Also, I read in the paper this morning, and I was stunned by this. And if you will, indulge me for a moment as I tell you the story. Nancy Grace has a tabloid TV show that's on CNN's Headline News channel every evening. And she is way too annoying, just to begin with. Okay, she's got a really screechy voice. She has a very aggressive style. She's a former prosecutor. And she always takes the side of the victim and the aggrieved citizenry. And so she is prone to convicting people on her television show before they've ever appeared in court. And she did it again with dire consequences. Now, over the last couple of weeks, another story surfaced that the cable news channels pounced on. And this is a case of a missing child, a boy named Trenton, 2 years old, in Leesburg, Florida. And Trenton's mom, whose name is Melinda Duckett, reported him to police as missing. She said on August 27th, she was watching a movie on TV, and she went to check on her baby in his bedroom, and all she found was an empty crib, a 10-inch cut in the window screen above it. At the time, she was living with her son and working through a very messy divorce with the boy's father. So the disappearance launched a manhunt, and people all over the place in this area near Orlando were out looking for young Trenton. The father, a 21-year-old Josh Duckett, was questioned by cops. He submitted to a lie detector test, and he is not considered a suspect. But on September 7th, Melinda Duckett made the poor choice of agreeing to accept an interview invitation from Nancy Grace. She went on the show, and I guess she had never seen Nancy Grace or wasn't prepared for this. Obviously, if you've lost your child, you don't sit around watching TV and say, wow, I wonder if I can take on Nancy Grace. So Mrs. Duckett stumbled over questions like whether she'd taken a polygraph and where she was shopping with her son before he disappeared. And she was so hurt and so despondent. After submitting to this interview with Nancy Grace, that on Friday she went to her grandfather's house, took his gun, and shot herself to death. Now, this is a real-world consequence of the exploitation of human tragedies by commercial television networks. Nancy Grace gets paid boku bucks to invade the privacy of average people across America and turn their tragic stories into fodder for network television coverage. And here, my friends, a line has been crossed. And we can't just be silent about it. And say, oh, it's just bad TV, we don't have to watch it. This is predatory. I about used the word journalism, and I had to stop myself. This is predatory reporting being passed off as news on CNN headline news, and they put Nancy Grace on there to compete with Greta Van Susteren and these other tabloid cop and crime shows that bring better audiences to the paltry ratings of cable news. And I, for one, cannot sit still and just say, oh, Nancy Grace was doing her thing. It's Melinda Duckett's fault. Well, I'm sorry. I feel bad that Melinda Duckett agreed to the interview and submitted to Nancy Grace's techniques, whatever you want to call them. But CNN owes us an apology. And I'd like to see Nancy Grace fired or at least suspended from her job. I'd like to hear what you think at 888-5 Peter B. And we've got Timothy, who hails from Calgary in Canada, who is in the Salinas area on business, I'm told. Hello, Timothy. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. How's it going today?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
How's the connection here? I'm kind of in a windy spot right now. I'm a Friday's Fire down from Canada and just happened to catch your show.
Uh-huh.
Heard the comments earlier about the Canadian troops not having, you know, the experience of the Americans, and I just, you know, kind of liken that to a football game where you've got UCLA against a local small college. You know, you don't have the number of people or the number of dollars to, you know, field maybe the best team, but we've got some good guys. Maybe you could look at the long-range sniper shots from the Canadian forces protecting Americans in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
The that is held by Canadian soldiers where we're camped out up high in the valleys of Afghanistan, taking out guys who were running ammunition up to the Taliban who were shooting at the American soldiers' convoys they were going through.
Uh-huh.
Down the bottom, 1.8 kilometers is the new record. The previous record was 1.5 kilometers, and they're both held by Canadian soldiers.
Well, I hope you didn't get the impression we were denigrating the service of Canadian troops. The comment from Scott Dick was that deployed by NATO, they're in a very difficult situation, and in particular, the rules of engagement and the limited resources make the job more challenging, and Canada has suffered a number of casualties, I think about 17 in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, how many of those casualties were caused by friendly fire from American A-10 Warthogs?
I don't know.
Two, I believe, recently.
Uh-huh.
And we pulled out of the Afghanistan mission in 2005 because one of your National Guardsmen, an F-15 fighter, took out five of our guys on a training area just north of Kandahar. It was a fairly more training area.
Mm-hmm.
And in his words, he had to light them up.
Now, Timothy, did you serve in the Canadian military?
No, sir.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, you're very well informed, and you might not be surprised to learn that some of these items are not widely reported in the American media. We don't give a lot of attention to our northern neighbors, and we tend to stereotype and marginalize, I'd say, the reporting and the activities of the Canadian forces, particularly in Afghanistan.
Well, I feel like the former military man earlier was saying that that they didn't feel there was a good moral mission there. If people want to go to gov.ca/Afghanistan, they can see what the Canadian government's mission and mission statement and troop levels and rules of engagement are.
And what's that website?
gov.ca/Afghanistan.
Okay.
I don't really agree with the mission in there. we recently elected a Christian fundamentalist, George Bush wannabe, as well.
Uh-huh.
Our previous liberal government there had a simple reply to Mr. Bush when he asked us to join him in the Iraqi war, and that was, proof is a proof. When reporters repeatedly asked Mr. Chrétien, who is an older gentleman who French-Canadian talked right out of the side of his mouth with a bit of slur, they said, well, what is a proof? And he said, well, a proof is a proof. And, of course, this was about weapons of mass destruction in Afghanistan.
Right. Yeah.
We'll join you if you
prove it.
Some proof.
Yeah, prove it. Timothy, thanks for the call. We got to run to a break here, but it's great to have you listening on the Peter B. Collins Show today. More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. And there are lines open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
Then they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by and have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Injury accident in Boulder Creek. It's Highway 9 at Irwin Way. A motorcycle and a car involved in this. They had been blocking a lane. They are over to the right-hand shoulder, but emergency crews are on scene and actually blocking the southbound lane, so be aware of that. Highway 9 at Irwin Way, southbound lane has been shut down. In Gonzales, Campora Gloria Road on-ramp to southbound 101. We have an injury accident there involving two vehicles. The vehicles are partially blocking the ramp, so be aware of that. In San Ardo, northbound 101 after Alvarado Road, a solo spin-out in the center divide. And keep your eyes open in Carmel, southbound 1 before Carpenter Street. Reports of a stalled vehicle in the left-hand lane. This report is brought to you by FlexurePower.org. Efficiency to save money, energy, and the environment by energy-efficient light bulbs and install ENERGY STAR-qualified cooling systems. For rebate details, visit FlexurePower.org. And thanks for flexing your power. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're in the free speech zone where your calls and comments are most welcome. A couple of lines available for you right now. 888-5-PETER-B.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend.
We'll take more of your calls in just a second, but it's time for the fictional portion of our broadcast day here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Because during the commercial break, I cracked open an email from Andy Borowitz at the Borowitz Report. And it reads thusly: Bin Laden celebrates Whitney Houston's divorce by canceling jihad. Vows to pick up the pieces with platinum-selling diva. Osama bin Laden, whose alleged crush on singer Whitney Houston has fueled media speculation in recent weeks, reacted to the news of Ms. Houston's split from her husband Bobby Brown by calling off his worldwide jihad. Just hours after news outlets reported that Whitney had filed for divorce from the headline-grabbing Mr. Brown, the Al-Qaeda terror mastermind appeared on the Arabic-language Al Jazeera network to profess his love for her and to cancel his struggle against the infidels. Addressing Whitney directly, the world's most wanted man said he was giving up his battle with the West to pick up the pieces after her split with Bobby Brown. Saying he would not rest until the singer was known as Whitney bin Laden, the Al-Qaeda... The Al-Qaeda madman painted a picture of domestic life together in his cave in the mountainous region between Afghanistan and Pakistan. I want to have a family with you, Whitney, he said on the chilling videotape. I believe children are our future. In Washington, President Bush responded to bin Laden's video, using a nationally televised address to call Whitney Houston the new front in the war on terror. If we allow the terrorists to win Whitney Houston, that'll be sending them a very dangerous message, Mr. Bush said. And then it'll only be a matter of time before they try to marry Mariah Carey. And elsewhere, British Prime Minister Tony Blair said he was looking forward to leaving office so he could spend more alone time with George W. Bush.
Smiling faces tell lies.
You can read it for yourself or get it for yourself at BorowitzReport.com. Charles in Carmel has been holding patiently, we hope. Charles, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was just wondering whether...
I'd ever get to you?
That was funny what you just read. Are we fighting a war on two fronts now, or is bin Laden?
I don't know. Did you hear this story? The New Yorker did report in July that Osama is infatuated with Whitney Houston, and that is sourced by a woman who claims to be a former mistress of Osama's.
So listen, the reason I called, I was thinking maybe it's time for the Democrats to take a page out of the Republican playbook and come up with a mantra that, you know, it's kind of... could hit home against Bush, et cetera.
Right.
Something like this. George Bush can't be trusted because he has bad judgment. George Bush can't be trusted because he has bad judgment. And you could develop that into something like he always comes to the wrong conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the next step. And the next step from that would be something like, well, the Republicans can't be trusted either because they don't offer any oversight on this guy.
Well, interestingly, first of all, I think you're onto something, and I think we should work this over and maybe send it into the Rock Ridge Institute and ask George Lakoff to give us a reaction and kind of an analysis of it. But it was very fascinating to me on Meet the Press Sunday when Dick Cheney dodged a whole bunch of questions from Tim Russert, and Russert rarely followed up with him. Cheney said that he's not afraid of Democrats taking over control of the House and or Senate in November. Because he and the administration have already been subject to such rigorous congressional oversight. I was waiting for the laugh track.
I heard that. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
There was a column by Paul Krugman about a year and a half ago where he talked about, he said these Republicans, they don't, lying or telling the truth, it doesn't make any difference to them. Just as long as you repeat the thing enough, then it becomes basically, you know, a fact.
Well, they have the same detachment of a lawyer presenting his or her legal position, which is not necessarily related to the facts or related to reality, but it's the argument being made at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, their psychology is brilliant, however they figured it out. But I think some simple mantra like that, see, the people in the center or independents are turned off by Democrats saying Bush is a liar, this, liar that. I mean, it's true. Of course it's true, but they don't like to hear those words.
Yeah.
They like to hear a more moderate reasoned thing, like you can't trust Ford George Bush because he has bad judgment. I mean, everybody could agree to that.
Well, you're right. I mean, it's somewhere around 60% of Americans believe he had bad judgment on Iraq. So that's a starting point. I think you really are onto something. I'm not just blue-skying you or you know, saying nice things to you, Charles. I think that this is a way of positioning the president in a critical way that doesn't hit the hot buttons of people who don't want to hear him called a liar,
even if
they don't believe he tells the truth. There is a very interesting disconnect there. I got to run to a break, Charles. Great to hear from you today.
Okay,
call me again.
Bye.
That does it for Charles. We'll take more calls in the next segment, and you can be one of them. Call me now, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com. Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues, and I continue to be your humble host, Peter B. Collins. See how that works? We are in the free speech zone, and your calls and comments are welcome right now. All my lines are open, so it'll be a short wait if you call in at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. A couple of news items to catch up on here. ThinkProgress.org has a post from today. And I don't know if you are aware of this guy, Fred Barnes. He is a Fox News fixture. He's the editor of the Weekly Standard. You know about that? Weekly Standard is funded by Rupert Murdoch. It's run by William Kristol. It is the neocon weekly message device. And it is used by Rush and, you know, all of his clones to focus on the message of the week from the neocons. And it's a pretty effective outlet. And Barnes, along with Morton Kondracki, who used to be a credible journalist, who now is pretty much of a right-wing hack, they have a Saturday afternoon show on Fox, and I'm only aware of this because I was on an airplane with television last Saturday, and spent some time watching the Fox News Channel. So today, Fred Barnes went on a very hostile media platform, the Fox News Channel, to give an exclusive report of his exclusive meeting with the President of the United States in the Oval Office, and I'm not sure exactly when it occurred, but sometime recently. And Barnes said that Bush told him that Osama bin Laden doesn't fit with the administration's strategy for combating terrorism. And Barnes said that Bush told him that capturing bin Laden is not a top priority use of American resources. Now, this is a really stupid thing to say 55 days out from an election. But it is telling that this president is willing to share with his conservative friends thoughts of this nature. He also has been telling his neoconservative religious fundamentalist groups that he sees his administration as part of a third awakening. And if you miss the first two, it means that you're not a fundamentalist Christian, and I did. And it's a code phrase aimed at reaching out to the evangelical base and letting them know that Bush is still their guy. So that's been going on. Now, there's one other item here I want to pass along, and then we'll go back to your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. This just in from the New York Times in the last hour or so. As you know, the president went to Capitol Hill today to rally Republican support for his anti-terrorism policies, but a Senate committee dealt him a serious setback after a former member of his own cabinet, that's Colin Powell, broke with him on a crucial issue.
Hours after Bush huddled with House Republicans, he suffered a defeat on the other side of the Capitol as the Senate Armed Services Committee endorsed legislation that would give suspected terrorists more legal protections than the president desires. Now, this is what we were discussing with Bill Goodman a couple of hours back. He's from the Center for Constitutional Rights, and he joined us here on the program today. Four of the committee's 13 Republicans joined all 11 Democrats in rejecting Bush's proposal to keep defendants from seeing classified evidence against them. The vote came a day after the House Armed Services Committee adopted a measure that more closely parallels the president's dream bill. Bush said after conferring with Republican House members that he had reminded them that the most important job of government is to protect the homeland. As part of his plan, the president wants Congress to enact legislation that would authorize tougher interrogations of suspected terrorists. Now, while this is a setback, it appears to me that Bush is generally going to get his way, and that the House and Senate will paper over his lawbreaking related to the detainees at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere, and they are poised to do the same on the NSA spying program. It underscores why we need regime change as soon as this November. We can't wait any longer. So much damage has been done, and this is just the most recent example. John in Carmel Valley, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Welcome.
You had a caller earlier who was pointing out very ably about Bush should have gotten it in the fifth or sixth grade about rights, human rights, and the Constitution. I heard the problem is many people don't get it, even though they get beyond the fifth and sixth grade. They even get high school civics and don't get it. Probably the majority don't get it, and I got a strong indication of that on the Ed Schultz program. Well, this was right after those supposed terrorists were arrested in Britain who were going to put bombs on airliners, and there was a lot of fuss about that for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed Schultz got a caller who identified himself as a lifelong Democrat, and he said he was quite willing to give up many of his rights to make airline himself as an airline passenger safer. So it isn't just Republicans that buy into the idea that what matters most is to be safe. And if you have to cash in your constitutional rights, that's what you do. And so it's a constant battle. Human rights have been so slowly won and painfully won that the reason the Revolutionary War is often referred to by historians as a shot heard around the world is because we actually got the first real democracy. Yes, the British got the Magna Carta long before that, but England pretty much, well, by the abuses we felt as colonies from George III, it was pretty obvious that there wasn't much of a democracy in the colonies, and there still wasn't much of one in England. And the reason the British and others, why it really was a shot, was it was soon to reverberate to the French Revolution and make its way, fortunately, to much of the rest of the world. But think of it, just two centuries, a little over two centuries ago, for the vast majority of the human existence, democracy has just been a dream, if that. And we can't assume that because we've had this for a little over 200 years, it's now absolutely permanently carved into our not only our Constitution, but to the psyches of all of us.
Well, and we have to fight for it every day. That's something that too many people, I think, aren't aware of. And we're seeing it in sharp relief right now, because they really are trying to persuade us to trade safety for a reduction in our rights. And we don't need to do that. I'm trying to come up with the right phrase here. It is the wrong question and the wrong answer, because there are a lot of ways that we can secure ourselves. And, you know, let me be real clear about the NSA wiretapping program. I think it is appropriate, using a warrant and going through the FISA court, for our government to tap certain phone calls to try to prevent terrorist actions from occurring. I'm not opposed to that. What I want to see followed is the law. And if this president thinks the law needs to be changed, damn it, go to Congress and say, please change the law. But that does not permit him to violate the law, admit his violation, and then go to the Congress and say, fix this for me.
He's not a scrupulous man about much of anything, and that's what the real fear should be. Other men, other times, had even far greater crises to deal with and weren't tempted to even introduce all of this. This whole torture thing is new to us now, when it could have been used, these awful excuses about saving lives, it never even entered the conversation. Just think how many lives might have been supposedly saved in the Second World War if we just tortured all the Japanese and German troops and any others we thought we could get something out of.
But once again, the premise is irrational. And Phil Butler has been on this program. He spent more time than John McCain at the Hanoi Hilton. He was subjected to torture, and the information he coughed up was misleading and inaccurate. And that's what we can expect. They can keep playing loud Bob Seger music and Ozzy Osbourne records for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. But the guy's been in our custody for 4 years now. And to suspect that we can torture more useful information out of him at this point, they haven't been watching TV. Thanks. I gotta move on, John.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your call. Donna at Big Sur, you're next here on the Peter B. Show.
Well, hi, Peter.
Hello, Donna.
Well, I just want to say that I totally agree with you about Nancy Grace. I think her actions and what resulted was totally disgraceful. However, that leads me into a question for you.
Okay.
If you have any information on this, what is the reasoning behind having Katie Couric starting to have a program on KRXA? Following your show?
Well, it is part of our CBS network agreement. The radio station carries the CBS news at the top of the hour, and as part of that package, they asked us to carry the Katie Couric Daily Brief, whatever it's called.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess time will prove itself, but...
And let me ask you, because I don't get to hear them that often, the samples that they sent us were not very impressive to me.
Well, I don't know when the woman has had an original thought. I'm sorry, but that's the way I feel. It seems like she says whatever is put in front of her.
Yeah.
And it seems a little contrary to this radio station's usual progressive way of thinking, but I guess time will tell.
Well, and I'll appreciate your comments in a month. Let's listen, and you let me know how you react to what she has to say, and I hope there is an original thought there, at least one.
I definitely will return.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you, Donna.
Uh-huh.
Now to Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Hello, Joe. You're on the air.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of these people trying to degrade Katie Couric is absolutely ridiculous. She hosted a labor series on PBS. Probably could be considered to be left-wing, very progressive by some people. So the thing, people trying to talk about her like she's some kind of a stupid airhead is completely asinine, in my opinion.
Okay, I consider her a news presenter.
Mm-hmm.
And in her role at CBS right now, I have mixed feelings. I need to watch a little bit more. And I want to see her cover a breaking news story and not just read the teleprompter. And that'll give me a sense of whether she has the depth of her
predecessors. Well, they do have a thing nightly on there about they let a person get up there once a night. They go ahead and give their own opinions on something. They give out their opinions on something unfiltered. You don't see anything like that in the rest of the media. So that is new.
But what is the unfiltered opinion about? JonBenet Ramsey or,
just all kinds of
Anna Nicole Smith?
Not Anna Nicole Smith. Things more important than that. All kinds of different people giving different opinions about all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, you know, that part of the show looks pretty good to me. But
now, Joe, I suspect that's not what you called about, but I got to take a break. Can you hold through the break?
Yeah, sure.
All right, and then we can go a little further. Joe and Brookings will stay with us, and there's a line open for you, too, at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B or 888-573-8372. Here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Coming Sunday, September 10th at 2 p.m., Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay. We'll be working on solutions for tomorrow today. Join me each Sunday to discuss peak oil, global warming, renewable energy, green building, and more. I'll be bringing in experts in these fields, and you can call in to add your ideas so we can work together on the solutions to the issues that face us today for a better tomorrow. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, starting this Sunday afternoon at 2, because tomorrow matters.
Low in Boulder Creek, Highway 9 and Irwin Way. We have an earlier injury accident involving a car and a motorcycle. Emergency crews are on scene and actually blocking the southbound lane there. Gonzales, Campora, Gloria Road on ramp to southbound 101. We have two vehicles partially blocking the ramp. Tow truck is on scene working on clearing that up. Pacheco Pass eastbound 152 at Pacheco Pass. Reports of an accident. There is very heavy traffic reported approaching the scene, so CHP and route to check out how many vehicles involved in that one. Both directions of Highway 17 through the Santa Cruz Mountains, checking in, stalling accident-free. Just starting to see brake lights Highway 1 between Monterey and Carmel. This report brought to you by Realty World. If you're looking to move up or scale down, look to your local Realty World broker for integrity, service, experience. Realty World, for the right agent makes all the difference in the world. RealtyWorldNCA.com. I'm dying with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm Peter B. We're in the home stretch here, 10 minutes away from the hour. And we're taking calls in the free speech zone. I just have to find Trigger here, because otherwise it surprises me at the end of the segment. And we return now to Joe in Brookings, Oregon, and we'll find out now why he really called. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, well, it actually does have in part to do with the media, the so-called left-wing media that was going along with all this nonsense around Labor Day about, oh, we got 4.7% unemployment rate, you know, more jobs than ever before. People got great jobs, and the economy is doing great. And of course, you turn around today, well, what's going on? Ford is announcing all these layoffs, and they're offering buyouts, and they're cutting the UAW down the size. And I mean, this, you know, and this is something that's been going on for the last couple of decades. The unions are becoming less and less powerful and more useless. And you know, the more the media lies to us about what kind of a great economy we have.
Well, that part is true. Now, have you ever been a member of a union, Joe?
Actually, my grandfather, who passed away, was a lifetime member of the IWW, and that's probably where I get a lot of my political radicalism.
So you're a commie?
Actually.
You're just a commie.
Well.
Well, I'm a labor.
Just hear all this nonsense about
Joe, I'm a longtime labor union member, and I'm a labor sympathizer, but I have to say that unions have lost their bite, and it may be fatal, may be terminal, and I don't want that to happen. But in a minute, we're going to tell you about some labor successes, so stand by for that. Joe, thanks for the call today. Good to have you listening up in Brookings, Oregon. Next to Josh in Salinas. Welcome, Josh. You're on the air.
Peter B.
Sir.
In our stampede towards sphere and monosyllables, that guy who lives in the White House has come up with a new favorite word, which is safe.
Yeah.
We're safe now. We're safer, but we're not safe enough.
Well, we're safer. We're just not safe.
Yeah, he really wants us to be worried.
Well, you know, we need to pass around more duct tape and plastic sheeting.
And tear up more of the Bill of Rights.
Well, that'll help.
5 years ago, 3,000 people were killed by terrorists in this country. Every year, 3,000 plus, 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 plus people get killed by drunk drivers in this country. Every year, 500,000 people in this country get killed by tobacco. If Bush's logic were consistent, and I hesitate to use the words logic and Bush in the same breath.
Thank you.
We would be discussing now torturing people someone thought might have sold cigarettes.
Right.
We would be
tapping their phones.
Yes.
We would check their telephone records to see who called them and who they called.
Homes and taking them to secret prisons and trying them with evidence they weren't allowed to see for the accusation of providing alcohol.
Yeah. Well, they have, in fact, investigated vegetarians in Indianapolis, and I guess it's the combination of the two. You know, being a vegan in Indiana somehow amounts to suspicion of terrorism.
Yes, I'm not trying to say that terrorists are the same as smokers and drinkers. That would, of course, be very silly.
No, but you're putting it in context, and you're being rational. You're saying, yes, we lost 3,000 people, and yes, there are appropriate responses to that, both in terms of improving our security and in acting to try to take out the source of the threat. That threat was not in Iraq, and Bush will admit that in one breath, and in actually the same breath, he then says that it's the Central Front in the War on Terror, whatever that means.
Yep.
All right, Josh, I got a couple other callers need to jump. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter.
Javier in Salinas, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was going to cover first the thing about Bush. He's going to do anything he wants until Congress or the courts step in and stop him. And that's what we all got to understand.
In general, that's true. We are seeing a few surprises where some strong Democrats and a few unusual Republicans are nibbling at the edges of some of Bush's dream legislation. But in general, he has gotten his way and will continue to get his way until we change the majority in Congress.
Yes, I agree with that, too.
That's the only check and balance available. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, and the only way we're going to check, even do a better job in replacing some of these Republicans in all these offices is by getting more volunteers at the polls. Because every election year, I talk to a lot of friends of mine, and they all point out to funny situations that happens at the polls. And at times, some of them are even asked beforehand, when they turn in their vote, they're asked, are they Republican or Democrat?
That is appropriate when they give you the ballot in a primary. Okay, in a primary, you particularly, like, I'm a not, what do they call me? A declined to state voter. I'm an independent. I'm not registered as a Democrat or a Republican.
Yeah,
and it does reduce the amount of offensive political junk mail that I get. But yeah. It permits me on primary day to go to the polls and say, oh, there's some really bad Republicans running. I want a Republican ballot so I can vote for the other Republican. Conversely, I can go to the polls and say, gosh, there's some great Democrats or even some bad Democrats running, and I want to vote on that side. So that's appropriate when you show up. But when you hand in your ballot, it's not appropriate for them to ask you what party you voted for or what party you belong to.
And this was happening in the actual presidential election in November. It was not a primary.
Yeah. Well, I want you to listen tomorrow because we're going to have two segments related to voter issues. Brad Friedman will be with us in the final hour with his weekly update. And Professor Mark Crispin Miller from NYU will be on with us to report about a bill that's being quietly pushed through Congress that would force a national voter ID card. And this is seen as just another way of repressing or suppressing the votes of people who typically vote Democratic. Javier, thanks a lot for your call. Keep listening, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. And Steve's on the line from Watsonville/Monterey with some great news about the hotel workers. Hi, Steve.
Great news, yes, the highest settled, but that's not why I called. I
all right, but wait, Steve, let's first enjoy the moment. The Hyatt has settled in the face of a threatened strike, and in San Francisco, hotel workers who have been conducting labor actions for 2 years finally reached a meaningful settlement with the employers late last night. And I'm just delighted to see, vibrant, organized collective bargaining paying off.
Likewise, absolutely, without question. And the main reason, however, that I called was to encourage you to thank Matt Renner for ably producing your show.
Hey, Matt, over there behind the cubicle, thanks a lot. Thanks a million.
And, Peter, yes. If you got time, I got a poem that I wrote while I was on hold here. How about this? Drinking Bush beer is stupid. Smoking Bush is wrong. President Bush is evil and a moron.
Trigger's here and Trigger's smiling. He kind of liked that one, Steve. Thanks. I'm Peter B. Collins, and we're going to do this again tomorrow. Will you join me?
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. If you've got a bag of spinach in the fridge, throw it out. Federal health officials are advising Americans not to eat fresh bagged spinach because it's been linked to E. coli outbreaks in 8 states. In Wisconsin, one person died. Dr. Pascal Imperato, former New York City Health Commissioner, says infants and the elderly are most vulnerable.
Very old usually have weakened immune systems. They don't fight infections off as well as younger people. And in very young children, their immune systems are not yet fully mature.
Other states affected by the outbreak are Connecticut, Idaho, Indiana, Michigan, New Mexico, Oregon, and Utah. Ford Motor Company, on the verge of announcing massive cutbacks, is offering buyouts or early retirement to its hourly workers, more than 75,000 of them. Jeff Gilbert of Station WWJ reports from Detroit.
The buyouts allow Ford to drastically reduce its workforce without getting into a head-to-head confrontation with the United Auto Workers Union. The next step will be more job cuts and maybe even more plant closings as Ford prepares to accelerate the turnaround plan it announced last winter.
They did not go anywhere near deeply enough last January, so that's clearly what you're going to be looking at now. I mean, whacking people by the tens of thousands.
Automotive News editor Peter Brown says Ford has to shrink to adapt to a declining share of the market. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Depending on age and years of service, the buyouts are worth between $35,000 and $140,000. President Bush put his prestige on the line today, making a personal visit to Capitol Hill to make the case for his plan to deal with suspected terrorists.
It's not often the President of the United States travels the long mile from the White House to the U.S. Capitol. But even this rare lobbying trip wasn't enough to head off a rebuke from members of his own party on a key element in his war on terror, military trials for terror suspects.
CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson. The Senate Armed Services Committee passed a measure requiring that all suspects be confronted with the evidence against them, and it would not, as the President wants, immunize CIA interrogators from prosecution for violating the Geneva Conventions. Mr. Bush threatens to veto it. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell publicly broke with the administration today, endorsing the Senate Republicans' plan in a letter that said the world is beginning to doubt the moral basis of our fight against terrorism. Dwayne Dog Chapman, the bounty hunter who stars in a reality TV